Blog Talk Radio.
Journeyman Talk Radio, and that's what the song is all about. We're going to be talking and speaking our minds tonight. So if you want to call and get a reading here, that's what we're doing tonight, free angel reading, Saturday. We're also doing past lives. I have a guest with me tonight, too. But this is Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio, and here on Block Talk Radio, and we're having a great time already. I'm bouncing and jumping, and that was actually Kansas. And before that, we actually had Journey bringing us into the show, and helping us speak our minds. Like I said, tonight we're going to be doing readings for 3 hours, so join us if you have a question or topic or anything you want to bring to the show. But we are doing readings, so if you want to call in, then the number here is 646-721-9031. Give us a call. Love to hear it. I'd love to hear from every one of you guys, so just call. Come on, we're trying to get our energy up high and that kind of thing, but it's been really one of those days. I'm pretty sure you guys can all identify with that. It's been like a week like that, draining energy. So let's bring it on and just do what we got to do. Everybody contribute as much as you can to Japan and help them with their situation and all the things that are going over there too as well. Plus, right now, if we have this thing going on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. If you donate $99 to the show, I'm giving away 11 60-minute sessions. So jump in there and take advantage of that situation. Really gives you some leverage, you know. Well, I wouldn't say leverage, but it gives you some choices. You can work and deal with the situation, that kind of stuff, too. So also, if you want to give me a call on keen.com, I'm also doing readings over there. We have a lot of choices from 99 cents to $3.99 a minute. Whatever it is, love relationships, you know, spirituality, teaching and that kind of stuff. So join us. And then actually Monday, I'm moving my classes back on wiziq.com. I'm having classes on teaching everyone how to do angel card readings and tarot card readings with the idea of connecting with your guides and angels and making that transition to connecting with your angels, but also helping you out with readings themselves and readings for yourself. And maybe you're just trying to really take a step into doing this kind of work professionally. So join us Monday at noon Eastern, and we're having a two-hour class on how to do that, angel readings and tarot card readings. We're going over each card, each situation, each spread, each situation. So join us on that one. That will be Monday, March 21st at 12 o'clock noon Eastern. Plus, we're talking about the idea of donating money to the show. We also have a thing where if you donate $12 or more, you'll get a 5-card angel reading. If you donate $99 to the show, you'll get 11 sessions, 11 60-minute sessions. If you want to take advantage of those things, call me at 740-601-9835 or contact me through my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. Looking forward to working with each and every one of you guys. So give us a call. Check it out. If you're a person who wants to advertise to the show, give us a call too as well. That number is 747-740. I don't know what 747 is. I have no idea. For some reason, an extra 7 keeps jumping in there, so I'll have to get rid of that thing. Anyway, give me a call. 740-601-9835. Also, if you guys want to really work with, trying to work more with children this year. If you have a child who's very gifted but you don't know how to deal with the situation, need some tools and some guidance with that whole thing, give me a call to 740-601-9835. And with the situation with donating $99 to the show, too, you can use that for anything. Anything that I do, you can throw and do one of those sessions with. So, good deal. So check it out. Anyway, my guest today that is Jennifer Yurzio. I'm not really sure if I'm pronouncing that right. Jennifer, how are you doing today? Welcome to the show.
I'm good, thank you, and it's Yurzio. Nice to be here.
I'm sorry, I don't like words with Z's in them. They really just, I don't know what it is. My tongue gets tied in a knot. It's just like, I got to work on that. Anyway, forgive me for that. I'll work on your last name. I'm sorry about that, but welcome to the show. And I saw you on Block Talk Radio, and I saw that you hadn't done a show in a while, but I felt like that what I saw and the situation of your shows and it kind of stuff was very fascinating. I guess you call it soul reading.
I do, yes, soul language identification, and I help people tap into and understand their soul languages of their soul.
And with the situation with the situation to help people understand, how would that help them in their quest?
you know, each one of us speaks three distinctive languages of soul. So when you understand your languages, it allows you to really have this intimate connection with yourself. And that avoids the struggle. It helps you to stop sabotaging. It helps you to really understand why you're doing what you're doing. It allows you to put in human words what you really know deep down inside, but you don't really have a name for it.
Mm-hmm.
So each one of us speaks three languages. You speak one language in three categories. Your mission here, and some people, you know, are under the impression that once you know your mission or your purpose here, it's like, woohoo, you know, angels come down from the sky and everything's right. You've been
mm-hmm.
being your mission or your purpose since the moment you've been conceived. But when you have a conscious way of putting that and connecting to that part of your soul, it
mm-hmm.
really allows you to start to manifest in that mission. And then the second language category is all about how you'll be known here. And then the third category is your soulful personality. Your soul prefers to go through life a certain way. So I help people identify their languages, and then I help them release and create the life that they desire. Soul language is a life purpose paradigm.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes, it's actually pretty wild to actually get into this thing and really get some insight and change certain things about yourself. I actually had a situation. I had a session with you myself. I thought that was very incredible. With the situation. Is there a timeline on this, or does it really depend on the person themselves, when you work with them?
There's not a timeline. You know, it really, you know, I am a spiritual leader, spiritual leaders. So people
mm-hmm.
who resonate with me, you know, are spiritual leaders, healers. So when a person's ready for a teacher to show up, that teacher appears. So, you know, there's not a timeline. You know, I've had people come for one session via, you know, I do a lot of phone work because I do across country and international. So I have people
yes.
come for one session, or I've had clients for years. You know, it really depends on what they want and what they need.
You were also saying something about everybody should have some kind of a coach that they go to.
Yeah. You know, it's really hard to coach yourself. We have all of that wisdom inside, and, you know, we do have everything we need inside of us. Yet we have those spiritual blocks, you know,
mm-hmm.
those limiting beliefs, and you need really someone to ask you the really good questions. And I happen to have one of my gifts and talents is that I ask really great questions. You know, throughout a session, people will go, "That's a really great question. I never thought of that." And that's what you need a coach or a guide or a spiritual advisor or a, you know, someone or a mentor to help you
mm-hmm.
understand what questions you need to ask that you haven't been asking. The same level of consciousness that created a problem can't solve it. So, you know, you need someone sometimes just to help you raise your consciousness level and to get you on your way. And that is what I help people do.
Mm-hmm. So I guess you have a coach of your own?
I do. I talk to her, you know, we have formal sessions, and then I get access to her via email, and I get to speak to her once a week, you know, as a check-in, and it's really, really helpful because she'll go, "Okay, so here's what I'm hearing you say," and I'll be like, "Oh, of course that's right in front of my face."
Mm-hmm.
But I was, you know, maybe in resistance or, you know, maybe not ready to hear it. And, you know, so it's really important. And, you know, we usually in our life turn to our families and our family and our friends to ask for that support. And sometimes, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to hear from a family or friend the truth sometimes, you know, because you have so much history with that. And with a coach or a spiritual advisor, you don't have history. You know that they're on your side. You know that they're there to support you. You know that they have your greatest good in intention. So that's why it's so important to go outside your normal channels.
Mm-hmm. So they don't have to be a professional coach in the sense of the word, but they could be somebody who's outside that doesn't know you, but can actually be on the same level as you in some sense of the word. That can motivate you and
yeah.
be a person you can play things off of.
Definitely, but if you're in any kind of healing industry, whether it's you're a coach yourself or you do
mm-hmm.
some energy healing, you know, and you want people to hire you, it's really advisable that you invest in yourself. You know, if you're trying to, you know, raise your life or transform your life, when you take that plunge to invest in yourself and say, I'm worth it, you're really telling the universe you're worth it. And that investment money will appear, and it will reappear, you know, tenfold. So, you know, the way to change your life is radical self-love. So how are you going to love yourself? And what does that look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's the same with the situation, too, saying, well, they always say, what you put out, you get back. But what, I mean, I guess in the sense of where you give, it's like saying, the more you invest in yourself, the more people invest in you.
Exactly. You know, it's a give and take world, you know, receiving and giving. And, you know, I know so many of us want to be of service for another human being. And we forget that we are part of that service equation and that, you know, we are part of the greater good. So, you know, we tend to put ourselves last on the list. And I'm asking just people to move themselves up on the list.
Right. Because, I mean, I do a lot of angel card readings, and it seems like the one card comes out as priorities, and it always says, focus on your highest priority. But most people think of other things. They don't think about themselves.
Right.
Which drives me crazy.
Yeah, if you don't take care of yourself, if you don't love yourself, and that's unconditional love, and that's divine intelligence defines unconditional love as all emotion without judgment. So you can be sad, you can be angry, you can be happy. It's just you can't judge any of that, because when you're in judgment of yourself, then you step out of unconditional love. And if you're judging others, you're really judging yourself, because everyone's a reflection for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. No, I was just, you know, the one thing I've noticed, people, I was talking to some people when I do sessions with them and saying, you know, if you're giving service to the world, don't you also live here too?
Mm.
So therefore, you should be giving yourself service as well. I mean, a lot of texts talk about the first thing you should think about is yourself, but they're always talking about not in a selfish way. They're just saying you're giving, when you give to yourself, you're giving yourself worth.
Exactly. You know, and if you're not doing that, you're closing off your receiving. And so, you know, if you want more money, or you want a more abundance, or you want more love in your life, and you're closing off, you know, giving yourself love, or, you know, taking yourself out for a treat, you're really closing down your receiving. And so it's going to make you hard, it's going to make it harder for you to receive from others. So, you know, whatever an individual who's listening today gets to do to really express love to themselves, you know, with the intent of the greatest good of all, you know, here's your opportunity to do it. Here's your opportunity to take the first step to transforming your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those situations of how many people can you actually sit there and ask them to sit and think about themselves in a loving way? They usually start thinking about, really, they start thinking about their bills. So they love their bills. They would just do the same kind of, can they give the same kind of energy to themselves? That would be amazing.
Yeah. You know, it's what you're feeding yourself with. Anything that doesn't nurture your life is considered an addiction, because an addiction is described as something that takes away your life force. So, you know, I love writing out my checks for my bills. I get so happy and so grateful, like, woohoo, I've got electricity, and look, I've got an amazing place to live, and I can use the phone, and, you know, I'm going to pay this bill, and guess what? That money's going to be able to pay, you know, the PSE&G's families, and, you know, I really get to see how far all of that goes. Mm-hmm. And when you come from a place of really being grateful, you know, that gratitude is contagious, and it just spills over.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying, with the situation of people talking about, I've had a couple of comments where we're talking about moving and the energy they were putting into it, like it was a chore, a pain in the butt. And I'm like, I said, once you look at it as investing money in yourself, because it's basically what it's doing, because you're putting yourself where you really want to be at. So therefore, it's going to enhance your life. but you're looking at the grudge and that kind of stuff. But boy, if you could sit there and look at the situation as you're loading that U-Haul up and just taking the furniture and stuff, putting on there, say we're going to our new home where real life's really going to take off for us and that kind of thing. But sometimes for some reason, I guess that's the one thing I would love to be able to do, and just spontaneously motivate people just to look at life and try to find the positive in everything and why everything's happening, because everything happens for a reason.
Everything does happen for a reason, and you know, there are some situations where it's really hard at the time when you're in it to find that opportunity. But the more that you try and the more that you know, I think the key of really finding the opportunity in every challenge is really knowing in every fiber of your being that you're being loved and supported and provided for.
Mm-hmm.
And with that foundation, you can go, oh, look at this. This is a new opportunity. I might not know how it's all going to work out, but mm-hmm. I do know that I'm being loved and supported and provided for. And I, you know, I just finished moving into a new apartment, which is the most amazing apartment I have ever had. It's actually the smallest apartment I have ever had. And I am so thrilled every time I come into my door. And there mm-hmm. were times when I had to pack boxes and I was exhausted and I wasn't taking care of myself and I was just like, oh my God, I don't know if I can pack another box.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now that I'm on the other side, I think I am so happy that I kept going. You know, I'm so happy that I had this opportunity. I'm so happy that I got to, you know, release and things that I had for a very long time that weren't going to fit in this apartment. And I don't miss them. And I'm so happy that new people are getting to use that amazing stuff. I went to the Market Street Mission here where I live, and I had to ask them a question because they were picking up a refrigerator that I had. And mm-hmm. I walked through the China section. I'm like, oh, my God, that's my plate. I donated that. And I was just like, woohoo, you know.
All right.
It's our stuff is not who we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be a reflection or an expression of who we are, but, you know, you can all take that with you inside, you know, and mm-hmm. when you're feeling chaotic in your outside life, it's because the inside is chaos. So start there, and the outside will smooth itself out.
So you used to do a show on Block Talk Radio. You ever think you'll do another show on Block Talk Radio, or is that, I hear you're a busy, busy person, so.
I do so many amazing classes, and I do a lot of interviews, mm-hmm. and to commit to a radio program every week is something that I just haven't had the space in my life for at the moment. It doesn't mean I won't ever go back to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do a series called The Interview with the Experts that's on my website at knowsoulslanguage.net. And that's where I interview all of these amazing people about their spiritual journey. And you know what? I could bring that to Blog Talk Radio. I mean, I could make it that, you know, I'm doing that every way. I can do it as part of that. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that puts an idea in my head to do that. But and I love doing that series because I really talk to, you know, the movers and the shakers in the spiritual arena. And, you know, it's a down and dirty, like, okay, tell me where the struggle was. Tell me how you got through the struggle. You know,
mm-hmm.
having a spiritual life is not all roses and hearts. You know, we all have trouble. We all have challenges. And, you know, it's important with our communities that we share that so people can understand that, you know, darkness is just forgetfulness. There's always light. There's always mm-hmm. light at the end of the tunnel.
A long one, yes. Yes, it is. And I was going to say something, I forgot. Mm. So, therefore, it might be something in the future, but it's one of those things of focusing on what's going on now and enjoying it the way you are.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you know, you're perfect just the way you are right now. Is there more of expansion? Is there more that you can be perfect? Of course. You're trying your hardest at every moment in every day.
Mm-hmm.
And to have some compassion for yourself. You know, we have compassion for a lot of other people in our lives, but we don't give ourselves the compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And it all starts at home. It all starts within you. If you want to change the world, you have to begin inside.
Exactly. I keep telling people all the time, is they keep work on the outside, they keep trying to change everybody else and everything, and I keep saying over and over again, you can't change anything on the outside until you're willing to go inside.
Right. You know, your world is just a reflection of you. And that's not judgmental. You know, it's not saying to beat yourself up. It's an opportunity for you to go, hey, I'm my own creator. How do I want to create this?
Oh, yeah. But I've talked to a lot of people who are in this business, too, who kind of found out that there's a higher percentage of people who really just don't know what that is, what they really want. I'm sure you found it yourself, too, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that because we're not trained to. You know, I have this mm-hmm. great story that my best friend, her son is now six, but when he first went to, like, preschool, you know, on his second day, they give them this green folder, and on the second day, there was nothing in that folder. And when the teacher, because the teacher walks them to the car, handed her the folder, the teacher went, there's nothing in the green folder today. And my friend was like, oh, my God, why? And the teacher said, well, your child chose not to participate. And my friend was like, what do you mean chose not to participate? The teacher was like, he just chose not to participate. She called me up and she was like, hysterical. And I go, why are you upset? She goes, well, he chose not to participate. Should I call? I go, listen, from the moment that kid has popped out, we have said, what do you like? What do you want? What do you need? What do you feel? And so he's making his choices. Give the kid a gold star. If he chose not to participate, he just chose not to participate today.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that there's something wrong. It just means he's explaining his wants. You know, we're taught not to want. We're taught not to, you know, determine and ask and, you know, decide what we want. And so when people go, well, what do you want? We freeze up.
We have no clue.
You know, the perfect example is go to a New Jersey diner with someone. And you get that menu, which is 6 pages long, and everyone's like, I don't know what I want because there's too many choices. That's the world we live in. We live in an unlimited choice.
Yeah, too many choices, huh?
Yeah, totally. And if you don't know what you want, take a piece of paper and write down all the things that you don't want. And then you can start to turn those into wants.
Yes. But, you know, the situation, people think it's kind of crazy, but I don't know. With the situation I've seen, if they would just let down the resistance. Because, I mean, a lot of texts that I actually read myself and studied, and the ways I've been taught is basically we're not really creating anything. We're actually letting down the resistance to let in what was meant to be in the first place.
Yeah, but, you know, there's free will involved. So, you know, some people would call free will a resistance. I wouldn't. I would call it a choice. So I've always said, you know, like, and God, that's my terminology. God knows what's going to happen if you go left. God knows what's going to happen if you go right. But God doesn't know if you're going left or right because we have free will.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we use free will as a resistance. And sometimes we use free will to learn something. So, you know, to say that it's all resistance, I wouldn't say that. I think that we're here with a certain, born with a certain amount of resistance so we can learn new skills to, you know, give us more in our toolbox to benefit everyone and, you know, benefit our souls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess the main thing I would say to people is if you're struggling, you know, what's going to take it to stop? You know, where is the struggle going to outweigh the resistance? You know, and the struggle mm-hmm. meaning pain. Because the moment that happens, the moment the pain outweighs the resistance, people will start to transform themselves.
Okay. Got a couple of people in the chat room we're talking about. If you're going to take any questions,
I'd be happy to take questions.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, I'm trying to find. We have so many things to click on here.
Mm-hmm.
I have. Oh shoot! I kept. Okay. I could have sworn I clicked on the switchboard, but for some reason the chat room popped up again. Let's take some callers. Mm-hmm. Let's take a deep breath and go, okay, I'm trying not to lose it here. I guess I took those painkillers a little too long than I should have. No, I'm not taking anything at all, so I don't know what that's... I don't know.
They're probably still in your system a little. You're probably still a little discombobulated because, you know, you did receive a really big trauma. And, you know, and it takes the body a little time to bounce back.
Yeah, I was trying not to put a lot of energy into that whole situation either. But when I went to the doctor to actually get him taken out, the guy was supposed to be taking him out. He's going on vacation Monday, so he's gone. He won't be back for another week. I'm like, but they said to have these things out about 4 to 5 days, and today's the fifth day. And they're like, I don't know what to tell you. And I'm like, it's kind of crazy when you go to professionals and they have no clue. So when I was younger, I actually took some classes in medical school and that kind of stuff. So I just took them out myself.
They couldn't get anyone else to take them out?
No, I just sat there and patiently took them out myself. We had some really dinky scissors, very sharp. It's just the idea of being very careful with the things, which I've done before. Or I wouldn't have done it if I'd never done it before. So sometimes you just got to take the initiative and go, okay, you know, I'm sitting there being guided to just do certain things and that kind of stuff, and I got to follow that. So, I mean, I don't. How we put this, some people say, oh, you got to follow that? Well, I've followed it for so long, and it always takes me places that's good and better for me and puts me in that situation anyway. So why would you not follow it?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, I think people also have to have an experience of trust in order to follow those breadcrumbs. So, you know, if people are trying this out for the first time, you know, start with something small, with following intuition or guidance or spirit or however you want to label it, and then just understand you're being supported and go the next, you know, the next breadcrumb, you know, so you can build up that new pattern of understanding, you know, where you're being led. You know, because we do it as children, and then we, you know that, and then we go to school, and it's kind of learned out of us. But a child never thinks about it. A child just does it. So it takes an adult a little time to get used to that, living that way again.
Oh, most definitely. I'm just saying with my situation, like I saw a picture of the angels guiding me on exactly how to take the stitches out and how to pull them out and how to get a grip on them, that kind of stuff. So when I'm getting pictures like that, there's a reason, so I follow
totally.
That.
Totally. I would agree with that.
So the situation, see, here we go. I'm just looking at the area codes here. Area code 313. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Good evening. I'm calling from Detroit.
Detroit.
Hi.
Hello. It's nice listening to you. My first time listening to you. I enjoyed your first part.
So have you ever heard Jennifer before?
No, I haven't. I haven't. I was just scrolling through, looking at what I can listen to, and I heard you guys, and I was very interested, and you held my attention.
Okay,
well, thank you.
You're welcome.
So would you have any questions for Jennifer, per se?
I do. I have an overall life kind of question. I feel like I'm in a tailspin, but I have a real specific question. An ex-lover, if you will, contacted me recently after 3 years, just out of the blue, gave me a blank email like, hey, and that's all he said. I want to know what's it about and what he hasn't responded back. I spent about 4 days. Is it good, or should I ignore him, or what?
Well, what I teach people to do is really really hear their own gut. So I'm going to ask you a question. So just take a deep breath and focus on your tailbone. And just connect to your heart. And why is he an ex-lover to begin with?
We kind of just, we didn't want the same thing.
So
you know what I mean? I was kind of ready for a relationship, and he wasn't, and I kind of just, we just went going our own ways, you know.
So it's very, 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 very rarely that people change like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if he sends you this cryptic hey and doesn't reply right away, it's probably a good bet that he still doesn't want the same thing. So
why
contact
me at
you,
all? I'm all confused.
Excuse me?
I'm wondering why contact me at all. It's been 3 years.
You know, because it's that thing of, you know, let me see what I can do and, you know, how I can feel and, you know, if I can, if she still cares about me or still loves me and I need some, a little love. And so here I'm going to throw out the rope.
Oh, okay.
And you know you're better than that.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
why waste your energy, you know, on this guy who's not going to value you, where you can really concentrate of feeling, loving yourself and attracting someone who's going to really do that with you.
Right.
Yes.
Right. It just kind of threw me for a loop. I just never expected to hear from him again, and then I get this, and it was just, I looked at my phone like, wow, like what, you know what I mean? And I, wow, I just was like, oh,
I,
boy. Not,
I would
not
say that that is a little test. You know, we often test
the
ourselves. Yeah, we often test ourselves. You know, we attract all of these situations. Nothing happens to us. So I would say that's a little test of you to really step in and claim your value. You're testing yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess you would say what the ideal attraction, you know, is
right.
Definitely a reflection of each you of looking at the situation of more things about you. Because I mean, a lot of times when I see these situations where you have one person who's basically self-centered and thinks about himself, but the other person more than likely doesn't, and that's the reflection back and forth, like things you should be doing for yourself.
Right.
So I would delete his email, not respond to him anymore, and really start to really decide what you really want in a relationship, and then make sure you're treating yourself of what you want in a relationship. And before long, someone will come along that really represents that for you.
Okay, well, I will delete his email. But then I have these moments. I have these moments like I want to say something to him, like stuff that I didn't get a chance to say. So then I'll send an email. And, oh, and by the way, you know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you're wanting him to respond so you feel validated, and he's not going to.
Mm-hmm.
I know,
like,
I've been there. So, you know,
right.
The best thing to do is write it all down on a letter, burn the letter in a safe vessel, a burning vessel. You know, don't, like, set fire to your carpet or anything. And, you know, just let it go. Let him go.
Torch it.
It's not worth it. It's not. It's taking up way too much of your energy.
Yeah, I'm just, you know,
it
I'm
is.
Just saying,
I find myself waking up like it on my mind. Like, I wonder what he wants. I wonder why. You know what I mean?
Right. So much energy that you could be spending
right.
on
if
something
sincere,
that you love.
He would have come
do.
Right away and said whatever it is you want. You know what I mean? He would have said,
yeah.
"Oh, I want to meet you for lunch. I want to." Right. So he's playing games.
Mm-hmm. No, I can understand this one clearly because not too long ago I had the same thing happen with somebody I hadn't talked to in 2 years came back in my life, and it was just like my guides and angels came to me and said, yeah, she's coming back in your life, but you need to really look at the situation and the person and see, and ask yourself what you see. And when I did that, she
right.
called, and basically what she did, she bitched for 3 days about everything that was wrong in her life. And I sit there going, it's almost been, I would probably say at that point, it was probably about 2.5 years, almost 3 years. And what was so funny about it was they were right. When I sit there and looked at the situation and realized that she's still 3 years back.
Right, stuck.
She has never changed. She has not moved on. She's still in the same situation. She's still recycling everything and complaining
right.
and doing the whole thing. And it just kind of like looks at you, look at him going, the reflection here is I'm not going back.
Right.
I'm going forward.
That's me.
I'm
moved
having
on.
Kids.
Yeah. I moved on. I was a good friend to him, you know, at a time in his life where he really needed a friend, and I was that. And it's okay that you didn't feel the way you I felt. It's not like I ever thought you did. I was very clear in the situation that it was not what I wanted it to be or what how I felt. It was cool, though. So I was a very good friend to him. So I feel good about that. But I'm so over it now, and I was just kind of wondering. But like you said, if he was sincere, he would have said, "Oh, I want to," even whatever it is, he would have said it. It wouldn't have been this cryptic "hey" and then nothing. You know what I mean?
So and I would sincere. Even yeah. lovingly stretch you, and I'm saying this with deep love and compassion, that you're not quite over it, because if you were over it, you would have gotten the text or email and been like, "Whatever." Not responding to that.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't be thinking
angry
about
with him,
it.
Though. Yeah,
no,
I'm not
but,
angry with
no.
him.
But not over it. You're still attached to it.
Yeah, no, I probably am.
Yeah, and let that go. Because he's holding a place at your dinner table. And so what's going to happen is that guy that's right for you is going to be like, oh, I can't go over and sit with her because there's someone at her dinner place. Let him go. He's so not worth the energy.
I'm telling you.
Right.
Yes. And if you think about it, yeah.
It's easier said than done, though,
too.
Because I thought I had moved on, and then I see his, I'm like, wow. Like, what do you want? And that's exactly what I said. What I emailed him back. What do you want?
Yeah. But you also got to sit there and ask.
The end of the world.
You also need to listen to yourself, too, because you keep talking. And you keep reaffirming it and all that kind of stuff. That's the whole. That's what's a, what's kind of crazy about these situations is they can pull you in so quickly.
Right.
But you
right.
have to look at the situation and go, okay, you are still attached to it because that part of you is still there and it pulled you right in. So what you need to do is sever that.
But how do you do that?
You say it doesn't matter.
You settle down. You take a deep breath. You fill your heart with love, and you just imagine letting him go.
Or you can do like we did. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jennifer.
And you keep doing it until it's no longer charged or you no longer have attachment.
And I always say if you have a trouble with that per se, you can. What I did was I was telling my friend, I have a client of mine who keeps talking about a certain guy over and over and over again to the point where we're just like, okay, we don't want to talk about it anymore. And she was like, "What? Why?" And that's what I'm saying. When you keep saying that curiosity where you think you have to find the answer, you have to tell yourself, no, you don't. You have more important things to do. And then you sit there and take it. Like she was complaining because this guy had hacked into her computer. So I said, well, why don't you try this technique? Just look at the situation. So when Patrick does something, you look at the computer, you think of somebody else you do like, and say, oh, look, Joey did something to my computer. How great. That was fantastic. And it takes the energy away from
right.
that. And it sends it into a different direction.
You know, basically, he texted or I guess texted or emailed you, so you could heal this. So you could stop looking outside yourself for validation and start looking inside. So this is a great opportunity. We can thank him for this. But you got, in my opinion, you get to take this leap.
Mm-hmm.
You get to go, I'm so worthy of something so spectacular. And I'm so grateful for this text because now I get to feel that for myself. And that guy's not it. No judgment. He's just not it.
Yeah. If people could just have arrows on their heads pointing us in the right direction, it'd make more sense. This is just a point pointing out to you and saying, this is not it. It's definitely pointing you in the right direction to keep going forward.
Right. Right. Well, good. That was helpful. That was definitely helpful. And I will. Block his email address is what I'll do. So he can't send me anything else.
Good. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for
Bye-bye.
Calling. You have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye now. Nothing
so,
like
I mean,
jumping.
What I do is I help people really get deep. Really get deep. If they really want to find that mate, if they really want abundance, let's talk to your soul. Let's identify your soul languages. And let's really let go of those things that are in the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have those tools to, when this kind of stuff comes up, to move past them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because my daughter got fired not too long ago, and she was like mad and angry. I'm like, why get mad and angry? She goes, look, after that person fired me. I said, yeah, I was telling you right there that this situation has stopped. It's over. I said, you know, that's what I was saying. Maybe we need to put it, maybe if there was an arrow in that person's head pointing in the right direction, then you would see it for what it was. Because a lot of people want to sit there and stop and complain and put so much energy into that whole thing when it's just simply, maybe not the way they wanted it to, but it definitely happened. And it's going on. It's over. So what are you going to do about it? Sitting here complaining about it and getting angry with somebody is just keeping you there a lot longer than you need to, when it's actually, I feel like it's just one of those steps telling you to go forward and get going.
Well, because we take it all personally. And it really has nothing to do with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we take it personally, and it becomes part of us, instead of seeing that, oh, well, what do I get to learn here? What do I get to move forward? Is this allowing me to be more clear on what I want and what I want to focus on? You know, mm-hmm. And that takes practice and, you know, patience and awareness and trust.
Right. Well, let's take another caller. Let's see here. 760, area code, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
Thank you. Hi, my name is Marty.
Marty?
Hi.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Yeah, say hi to Jennifer.
Hello.
Hi, Jennifer. I was wondering if you could tell me if I'm going to find a job soon.
What do you love to do?
Well, I like to make things pretty. I love to decorate. I was into visual merchandising for a long time, so... I'm not sure if, I don't know. I'm just looking for work, and I was just wondering if you saw me finding something soon.
Well, you know, finding something soon starts with a belief. So do you believe that there's a job out there for you?
Yes, I just have to find it.
Okay, so let's clear that up. You don't have to find it.
Okay.
We're not in charge of the how. We think we're always in charge of the how. You're in charge of the what. So if you believe that there's a job out there, I'm not saying that you don't do the inspired action, but every morning I want you to focus and really feel that job. Feel what it feels like. Propel that emotion forward. And then I want you to open up the paper or go on monster.com, however you're searching for a job, and go, okay, I know the job's out there for me. Point me in the right direction, Spirit.
Okay.
Allow yourself to receive the job and really start really deciding what you really love to do, because, you know, you have this bubbly energy.
Mm-hmm.
And you have this energy that's contagious, and that can really, you know, you've got that sparkle about you. And you keep going for jobs that don't allow that to sparkle.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to receive that job. You know, go for the job that you think, huh, this would be the baby. Really allow yourself to stretch beyond what you think your possibilities are. Because you're undervaluing your job. You're undervaluing what you bring to a job. Does that make sense, Marty?
Yes, it does. It does.
So stop hiding out, okay? And let go of whatever happened in the previous job so you can really receive the new job.
Okay.
Don't worry. I know it's hard. I've been in the worry place. But the worry's not helping you. So a perfect affirmation that I always use is I'm loved and supported. I let go. I know that there's a solution. You might not know what that solution is, but you know that there is. And if you have to say it 100 times a day, say it 100 times a day. And what will happen is you'll start to see the miracles.
Really, more than just one and two. I mean, seriously, I've done this. I mean, every time I've ever sit down and really asked for something, I've always gotten it. And it's always been guided to do it, not to chase after it. But it was like I was looking for table from my shop when I was in Colorado, and I was like walking by this furniture store, and I heard the voices come in and saying, you need to go to this furniture store. And I was like, okay, there's $200 tables in here. And they're like, just keep walking. And I hear the voices guiding me the whole step away. And then I go back in the back room. I'm like, okay. She goes, we got some tables back here. So we went back to those $100 tables. I'm going, okay, and this might sound crazy, but this is the whole thing. My budget was zero, okay? I didn't have any money for a table. But I wanted one, and I asked for one. And I was guided to one because when I went back in that room, I was like, okay, they're $100 tables. You guys, I know you guys are guiding me. I always listen, and it always works out good. I'm like, I don't see it. I turned around, and as I turned around, there was these tables in the corner. And I was like, well, how much are those tables in the corner? And she was like, excuse me. She said, oh, we're trying to get rid of those. You can have as many as you want of those tables. So I was like, and I said, if I would have judged it because of what I saw on the outside, because it was a very expensive furniture store, if I would have seen,
you
know,
the opportunity, right?
Exactly, I would have missed the opportunity. So when, you know, I'm just saying, when you open up and let your guidance lead you, like I said before, you ask. Even the Bible says that you have not because you ask not. So I ask for everything.
Right.
And it's one of those things. If you don't get it.
It's hard sometimes not to work, you know, out of, you know, that place of fear, you know, because especially when it comes to jobs, you know, you start getting nervous and stuff like that. I realize that. It's just that it's hard to combat that sometimes, you know.
Well, that's true, too. It's
good. Fight in my head.
Well, you also got to look at the situation, too, that every time you've listened to the fear, it usually puts you in a job you didn't like.
Yeah, true. This is true.
And Marty, if you go to my site, KNOW, soulslanguage.net, and look under audios, there are a couple really great audios there with exercises, and you can download them free, and there's a couple ones that deal with fear.
So, can you give me your website again?
Sure, it's KNOW, soulslanguage.net.
Okay.
You know, fear is something that you can't feed. You have to feed the other. And I know it's hard. It consumes us. But whatever you need to do to release it, to walk through it, when you get past the other side, it's amazing. I was afraid that my refrigerator would stop running for years. I would sit at night going, come on, turn on. And it wasn't because of the refrigerator. It was what happened the last time the refrigerator decided not to work. And what happened was happening in my life. And it was so deep-rooted fear that I would be paralyzed. That there are, you know what, every time the refrigerator, I hear the refrigerator hum in my new place, I laugh. Because I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize that the refrigerator came on. Like, it cracks me up because it's something that I let go. But it was deep. It wasn't just about the refrigerator. So the fear of not having a job is not about not having a job. The fear of poverty is not about not paying your bills. It's about not being safe.
Yeah, right. Right.
So you have to know that you are safe. And you have to feel that in every step and in every movement of your day. And then that will allow you to make different choices that will allow you to receive the job that is really, I just saw like this box with a giant bow on it. No, it's yours, you know? So just relax and breathe.
Okay. Ground. I need to ground myself. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll definitely work on the grounding.
Yeah, you can't do anything if you're not grounded. Because when you're grounded in body and soul. So the soul knows the what and the body knows the how. So when you're grounded, they're working perfectly and manifestation is easier than when you're not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely agree with that one. Yeah.
With the super moon and stuff. So, yeah. Okay. Alrighty.
Good
luck.
Take it further.
Thank you so much.
Email me when you get your job.
But
okay,
worry.
Will do.
Worry is just prayer for the things you don't want.
Right. I've heard that. And I actually, hung that up on my refrigerator in my old place. Anyway, thank you so much, you guys. Have
You're
a wonderful
welcome.
Night.
Have a good night.
Okay. Okay.
Bye now. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye now. Let's see here.
So I have time for one more call before I have to
zip off. No
end
problem.
My time with you.
Alrighty. Here we go. That's just a cute. I gotta watch this thing from time to time. I haven't seen it come too many people because it's jumping around. Area code 773. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
Hi. My name is Joellen.
Joellen, where are you calling from?
Chicago.
Chicago.
Hello.
Chicago. So is Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi, Jennifer. My question is, I guess it's kind of general, but specifically general.
Okay.
I've just been feeling, I know there's this strong moon and whatnot, blah, 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 but I've just been feeling pretty lethargic and not so much hopeless, but just kind of apathetic towards everything lately. And I'm reading all the stuff in the Blog Talk chat room, but I just ate a whole bunch of ice cream, too, and it's not my birthday. But, I'm just not feeling motivated for anything. I feel like I'm marking time, waiting for something, preparing for everything, and I just don't know what's going on.
All right, so you want to try an exercise?
Oh, I exercise all the time.
No, do you want to try an exercise right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure.
So just take a deep breath.
All right.
And focus on your heart. And just allow divine intelligence to fill your heart with joy. And let me know when you felt the shift.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know what's happening? You're picking up. There's a lot happening in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you're picking up all of that tremendous energy. So I'm going to ask you, and I would bet that you're an empath. I would bet that you pick up a lot of people's feelings a lot. Is that correct?
Sure. Yeah.
So you need to separate what's happening emotionally with you and with the rest of the world. So a very easy technique to do is, especially around family members, this is always good, is you take your left hand and you put it on your right shoulder. And this separates your heart chakra from the heart chakra of others.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just feel where you are on a scale of 1 to 10. And then you take it off again. And if it goes up or down, guess what? You're feeling other people's energy. So you need to be really aware of what you're feeling and start to really be aligned inside. And that doesn't mean that you're not being compassionate for others, but it means that you're not participating in others' emotions. The best thing that we can do today in this environment, what's happening, is offer love and light and support to those that need it.
Uh-huh.
But we need to offer it without our own gook involved with it. So feeling joy is really the best thing that you can do for yourself and everyone on this planet.
Okay. Well, I guess
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I guess it kind of goes hand in hand that, a while back I was told I was indigo, but I just don't see that I'm not feeling any special for any particular reason.
How would you feel special if you felt this way all your life? And B, how would you deal with your specialness, so to speak, if you haven't been trained in how to use it? You know, I hear it from people all the time. I hear it from leaders and healers all the time. Well, that's not special. Everyone can do that, can't they? And I go, no, everyone can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you haven't really, it's like you're trying to read the New York Times for yourself, but you haven't read Dick and Jane yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, if you were my client, the first thing that we would do is start to notice when you're being empathetic.
And oh, I
notice
it.
Okay. And then we would realign that so you're not participating in other people's emotions. And
mm-hmm.
then from there, you can really determine how you want to use your talents and gifts.
All right.
Don't be
yeah,
so...
Definitely. It's definitely
yeah,
one of those situations a lot of people
to
don't
feel
have.
The joy.
Okay, so don't pick up what other people are doing. Just kind of
you can
feel
pick
what
it
I'm
up,
doing.
But you can't participate in it.
Okay.
You're taking it on to try to fix it,
right.
to try to help them. It's really not helping them, and it's not helping you.
Right.
I know. I'm a big empath. For years, I couldn't go into, like, a casino because I would play 8 slot machines all at once. And I couldn't figure out why. I don't even like to gamble. Then I realized what I was doing.
Oh, yeah.
So just
driving
allow
crazy,
yourself
huh?
to stop participating in other people's feelings.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, just... Yeah, empath. I'm an empath too, so you know it's one of those things, feeling down and just everything going on, that kind of stuff. And but you've definitely got to open up your heart and just feel good.
Feel good, Donnie.
Well,
it was amazing spending. I'm sorry, I'm over talking to someone. Were you?
Oh no, you're good. I just want to say thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. And you know what? Feel free to email me because I can send you that exercise via
okay.
email.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for calling, yes.
Donnie, thank you so much. It's just been a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. And you ever get a chance in your busy schedule to come back again, you're more welcome than do. I'd love to have you back.
Will do. Everyone have a great night. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye now. Bye. Okay. Let's take some other callers and... You know, it's free angel reading Saturday, so let's get some readings going on. Let's everybody call in. Let's get this queue filled up with people so we can answer some questions and have some fun doing it and talk about many subjects and topics and that kind of stuff. So give us a call here at 646-721-9031. And let's keep the fun going. What do you say? And Jennifer had to leave, and she had to... Excuse me, she has a very busy schedule, so she had to get and go. But it was a pleasure having her here. Very talented woman. And we'll go on to our next caller. Area code 956, how are you, and welcome to the show.
Good evening. My name's Lisa, and I just had, like, 2 questions.
Lisa,
one was,
where are you? I'm sorry,
I'm calling from Brownsville, Texas, but I'm originally from Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, so I'm just saying, it seemed like the topic tonight, we've had a lot of people from Chicago, or really from Chicago, so I had a feeling, yeah, so. Go ahead, Lisa.
It was probably the accent that gave it away. I would like to know what I was in my past life, and 2,
what?
I would like to know, why do people seem to be really jealous of me, even though in my eyes I don't see, you know, me having anything majorly, you know, positive going on, and just like the next person making it day by day, but it seems like I always attract a lot of jealousy.
That's, you know, when you sit and look at these situations, I always tell people, because I was telling a friend of mine, and it was kind of funny how I was talking to her, talking about just what you're talking about, and I actually got jealousy out of the same conversation as I was talking about it, because I was sitting there saying I want to be in a situation in my life where I'm a reflection of what I believe in, so therefore everybody would see that and be envy of it. And she's like, well, why do you want to be like that? It's kind of selfish. And I'm like, no, when I say envious, I mean people are envious because they want to be it.
Okay.
And then you have to take them to the next step and say, okay, stop being envious and be it, because you can do just like I can. It's just the idea of realizing how to get there and opening up and saying, okay, guy, because I tell people a lot of times, people talk about their... In some sense of the world, they're looking for coaches and that kind of stuff, but your angels and guides can be the same way too as well if you just listen and just follow through. Okay. What's the situation, like you're talking about people jealous of you, is because if you're a person who can find the positive and everything and be very happy about the whole thing.
Correct. So,
yeah, they have a tendency they want to pull you down because they're jealous, but they think it's unattainable, so therefore they want to pull you back down, bring them back down to their level so they won't feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people, I said, you know, get your hands off me.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to sit there and deal with it and that kind of stuff. If you're jealous, what is jealousy? It's envy of something that somebody has. But in this case, in any case, really, if people would take it one step further and realize that they can obtain those things just as easy as I did, it's just the idea of looking, like you said before, it's like looking for the solution. That's the thing. They're not looking for the solution. They're too busy focusing on what happened and telling all their friends, you know, I was in a car wreck, and they go over that thing 3,000 times. They go, okay, how come things haven't changed?
Right.
Well, you're still talking about this accident which happened in the past, and you're still talking about that. So everything's come to a halt because that's all you're thinking about. It's all you're focusing on. You're not focusing on the future. If you were focusing on the future, then more than likely the next couple of days, then you'll have. If you don't have what you have, you'll still have an anticipation doing things. And for example, when you start looking for solutions, it's the ideal of, like, when I was in the gym, I'm working out, my shoulders hurt, my chest hurt. Now, most people would sit there and go, okay, this sucks. You know, I guess I can't do these things anymore, and they walk out of the gym. Well, I didn't do that. I sit there and look at the situation and go, okay, what can I do so I can still do what I want to do? And I found out I could actually exercise on certain exercises that I usually did at the end. I could actually use those as warm-ups so I could actually still do what I wanted to do, which is the idea of finding a way to get there, not giving up. And I always tell people, a lot of times, like we saw at the last caller, well, not the last caller, but the one we saw at the job, it's like most people have a tendency to give in to fear, walk up, and put themselves in a job they don't like because of the money, not realizing at that moment you've made a decision, not because of what you wanted, but you made a decision because of money. And because you made that decision, you wasn't thinking about you and what's best for you. You were thinking about what's best for your bills.
Right.
You basically give, if you sit here and think about this, I think it's so crazy that we actually give life to these things.
Exactly.
Bills become alive. Money becomes alive. And all these things start ruling our lives. We're not realizing, because we've talked about this before, people go, well, I think I'm doing pretty good. I don't think I've relinquished my power. It's not until you point out where they've relinquished that is in small bits and pieces here and there as they go along.
That makes a lot of sense because a lot of people, you know, even though I have a lot of things going on in my life and I don't have the woe is me syndrome, they like turn their back on me like, oh, she thinks she's better. And it's not that, you know, we're all equal and I don't think I'm better than anybody. If anything,
mm-hmm.
I might think you have better qualities than me, you know. So
mm-hmm.
I completely agree with that. Can you tell me what I could have been in my past life?
Yeah, but sweetie, that's kind of a vague question. I'll tell you why.
Wow.
You're saying, what was I in my past life?
Okay.
Okay, now are you talking about the previous one or the other six that you had?
Oh, we can put them all in a nutshell if you want to.
Okay, let me look at my watch. I don't think I have that much time. But realistically, I would say if you want to talk about the last lifetime, I would say I keep getting 1911.
Okay.
But what comes to me is you were born 1911. And then I keep getting connections to the Titanic with you.
Okay.
Because I get pictures of the Titanic, I also see pictures of you swimming. But what happens is I don't see you past that point.
Okay.
So I really feel like that's when you expired. I hate to use the word you died, but we'll go more or less the past nine. But I see you swimming around, and then I see you looking at yourself.
Well, I guess that could be a good reason why I have a fear of water, but I've kind of overcome it. But for a long period of time, I've had a fear of water.
Okay, how do you feel about lakes that are frozen over?
Doesn't bother me as much as a big body of water, like an ocean, and being
mm-hmm.
out there actually swimming.
Well, it's good, because I tell you what, it's easy when people see solid water. The people who are even scared to death of water look at it as something that's controllable.
Okay.
So when you sit here and look at the lake, you're like, I can walk all over it. But the idea being the Titanic, and being in the water, it's being very cold and frozen, but the water wasn't. So it was kind of irritating that this thing took you over as quick as it did, and you're kind of mad at yourself. Because it's almost like you get the impression with this whole thing of this Titanic and your life was making one decision after another, where now in this lifetime you could reflect on that and see that you don't make those choices anymore, where you just didn't. But I almost feel like you were talked into going.
Okay.
It's like you've always been very intuitive. So the deal, you felt like, I don't want to do this. I get the impression when you're swimming in the water, you're irritated at your husband because you're like, I knew this was going to happen. Like you just go boom, boom, boom. How did you feel when you actually saw the movie Titanic?
I guess now thinking back on it, because it had been a while since I saw it only once when it first came out.
Right.
And
that's understandable.
I felt very, very sympathetic for the people.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the major cast members that played the parts, and it's like, you know, wow, that really sucked. I can't remember exactly if I had, you know, any,
well, I know.
Like that might have happened to me though.
I know I got irritated in that whole freaking movie, man, because all the stupid jokes. My brother would call me up and he goes, if you're gonna go see Titanic, he goes, I hate to ruin it for you, but the ship sank. I'm like, okay, you know, if I hear that joke one more time. And I was sitting there talking about, when I watched it too, I was like, God, there's such a sense of something familiar about the whole thing, like I'd been there before. And there was actually a story about a guy who was a psychic, and he went and he got an impression that he shouldn't travel on this ship he was told not to go. It's like, I got impressions and I should not get on this ship and I should not travel. And then someone talked him into doing it too, where he said he saw, he had a vision and a dream of him swimming in the water and he drowned and died.
Oh,
and
wow.
And that's exactly what happened to him too. I was like, okay, buddy, this is how psychic readings work. You're supposed to use these to keep yourself not going there.
Right, and you know what, just to touch a little bit on that subject, is that myself, I'm not saying I'm a psychic by any means, but I think I do have some abilities, because there was a period in my life where I can, you know, see things, and then I tell my husband, and sure enough, they come true. They weren't, of course, 100% accurate to what I actually seen, but they were more or less same principle of point. And
and
I honestly think that we can change that if we know what's coming our way.
Well, that's a proven fact, because I sit here and tell people all the time the future is not written in stone. Because people come to me and say, "Okay, I didn't meet this guy, what happened?" But if you sit here and look at them, and look how they're focused on things. See, when you push on things, I mean, the physical thing happens when you push on something; it gets further away. And when you start focusing, energy is basically bouncing off that. So all it does is repel it. So you wish people would come back and say, okay, when people, instead of getting angry, you wish people would just come back to you and say, okay, this didn't happen to you. But there's some people who are scared to come back to you and go, you were wrong. And I'm sitting there going, no, it wasn't. I told you to turn left and you turned right. And they go, well, what's the wrong with that? I just made my own decision. It's free will. I said, yes, you did. But you also have to realize that you're thinking that the future is written in stone, so therefore I can do whatever I want to get there. Not realizing that most times when you're reading somebody, you're reading them from the energy and the path that they've chosen. And if they change the path, then things change.
Right, exactly. I believe
it's
that.
It's also like today, guys. I mean, I got so freaking irritated because I was working on Keen and some lady calls me up and she goes, am I going to meet a guy? And like, no, I just almost got to the point of saying, you know something? I'm really tired of hearing this question, because one reason was she wouldn't let me answer it. She thought the answer was just flat out, yes, you're going to meet a guy and this is going to happen. If you're going to get psychic readings, have compassion for the person you're getting the reading from, that we're not mechanics, we're not machines. And to call, if you call Keen or these other places and you want someone to just respond, you know, you should take 5 minutes, five freaking minutes to get to know those people and open that energy up and where people can relax. Not just you, but them too, because it's like, you know, you're expecting someone to drop something like a freaking computer card. It don't work that way. sometimes I can be like really boom, 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 but in the process, sometimes you're not. But if you really want the answers and you really want to put the time into it, I recommend that you at least spend $25 on somebody, you know, or you know, whoever it is you feel comfortable with. But once you do that, at least give the person respect that that person is opening themselves up as well. We talk about this on the show here. We talk about people calling and getting free readings. They're not really free readings. We're giving out information and we're working. So it's on our side of the whole thing. And some class of the word is not free because we give of ourselves and we know for a fact that we are not free.
Mm-hmm.
We have lots of worth. So I'm giving 100%. Like I'm talking to you, I'm giving 100% every time I sit here and talk to someone on the phone. So when we were talking about the donations and that kind of stuff. On my site, you'll see on my site, it just came to me today, my angels came to me and said, say this, maybe people understand what you're trying to say. It says, give love where love is given.
Right.
So we're giving of ourselves because we want to help everybody that comes across the path. We do these shows because we want to teach people. We understand people are not in a position to do like other people do.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people who are.
Right.
And all we're saying is, if you really, really appreciate what's going on, and you appreciate what we're doing, that kind of stuff, the idea of a donation is the idea of saying, if I was in person and you could give me a hug, I would accept that too. But this is a way of doing it from, I guess, from a distance. You can do these kind of things. And I tried to talk to this lady this morning, and she goes, I don't want to hear this crap. I don't want to hear about meditations and chakra clearings. And no, I just want to know if I'm going to find a guy. And I said, no.
She wants a quick fix, and she doesn't want to take the time. And you're right, it's a give-and-take energy thing, because in order to get a real good reading, you have to give in order to receive.
Yeah, guys, if you're going to call up here and give us fake names, at least give us the truth about the situation. I understand you guys don't want to know who's out there, but maybe you should think about that, too. Why are you hiding? Who cares? Really, seriously, if you're calling up here, what's more important? Getting the information and the answers to your questions, or being scared because someone's going to find out about who you are, then you should ask yourself, how sincere are you being with the people around you and yourself? When you use a fake name, what are you trying to
hide? What do you think people use fake names for?
I think they don't want people... I think it's one of those things of hiding.
Okay,
and when they do that, they need to understand that the only person they're really hiding from is themselves. Because I mean, we sit here and talk to me. I've had people call me up and say, hey, my name is so-and-so. I'm sitting here going, this is so-and-so. I know who this is. You know, and but see, the point is, I had a lady call me up and give me a fake name. And then she started, when I sit here and started picking up things about her life, then she said, no. I have no idea what those are. Well, when you do that, I'm seeing things of your life. So I'm peeping, I guess you'd say I'm peeking into your life. If you're not being sincere in what you're telling me, what I'm seeing, I have no confirmation on if that's actually what's really going on. That's what I'm really seeing. So see, that kind of kills the whole reading because I'm thinking I'm going the wrong direction, and then I start focusing and I try to think I'm trying to go in the right direction when it's kind of just throwing me off. And then people go, well, what happened? Well, what happened was the person on the other end was either closed in some way or they were lying about something. Which actually, in the same sense of the word, when you're lying, you're hiding.
Right.
Because there's a part of me you don't want to see about the whole thing, which. I see it, but I'm not getting confirmation, so I don't know if I'm seeing it or not. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, I've been in situations where there was a particular lady who came to my shop when I was in Colorado and did a reading with her, and it's a good thing she was being honest with me about everything, because she was actually dressed like a boy. She was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
She was gay, and all this other stuff going on, but she said she was upfront about the whole thing. And then I saw this picture of a woman. She was about 5 foot tall. She looked just like E.T., I swear to you, and she was wearing... She was wearing these god-awful Nike tennis shoes, the high tops.
Uh-huh.
And she was chasing this person around the freaking living room with a newspaper. And I saw this, and I looked at her, and I said, this is what I see. And I said, this person was called Grandma. And she goes, well, I never had a grandma where we used to live at. I said, no. I didn't say this was your grandmother. I said, you called her grandmother. That's a difference.
Because
we have a lot of people in our lives we call different things. You know, like girls have a tendency to bring guys in they don't want their kids to know about just yet, and it's Uncle Joe. So,
right, I understand.
Take on many forms. So I was sitting there looking at this thing, and then she looked at me, and she's like, you see that going on? So I described it to her again, and I said, yeah, this kind of scary looking too, you know, E.T. and tennis shoes. And and all of a sudden it dawned on her. This was a neighbor that used to babysit them, who used to be an old lady who used to wear these god-awful tennis shoes, and she used to smack them with a big newspaper. So, but if that person would have lied about that whole thing and said, I don't know what you're talking about, I would have thought I was losing my mind.
Right.
Seeing these visuals, like, okay, what the heck is this all about? But one thing in situations like this, like you said, you're right. When we started talking about, when she's saying, I'm not a real psychic and that kind of stuff, the idea of, in the sense of the word being a real psychic is being doing this for so long that when you do get into situations like that, you trust what you see because it's coming through spirit. And if you really connect with your angels and guides real extensively, then you have a tendency to trust that more than anything else. And you know the person you're working with is either too nervous or too caught up in the situation where they're not remembering this. We had a lady I was sitting there talking to casually and said, I pick up somebody with you who has sugar. And my partner at the time that in that shop said the same thing, I pick up sugar. When we usually pick up sugar, to me it's three things. If you pick up sugar, it means you're either diabetic or you're an alcoholic or you on the third one's most easy people think of is you have a sweet tooth and you really eat a lot of sweets. So you have to sit there and try to figure that out. But with her, we pick up the sugar. And I looked at her and said, you know, is somebody close to you a diabetic? And she said no. Well, as we're having the conversation, about 5 minutes later, she goes, oh, my God, I forgot. My sister's a diabetic. And you're thinking, your sister's a diabetic, but you didn't remember. Okay, of all the people you think that you would remember as being a diabetic would be your sister. But she was, and it was like, I don't know what it is. Sometimes we've had this happen before when people are in the presence of our presence doing these readings and stuff. For some reason, there are certain things they just forget. I don't know what it is. If just, I think it might be just nervous and that kind of stuff, but or kind of scared what's going to come up. But it was kind of funny because, I mean, I've had that happen many times. And I've even had people say, I think the funniest question I've ever had was somebody actually called a psychic line I was working for. And I said, you have a very, I said, I keep picking up sugar with you. You love sweets. And I said, your favorite thing is Twinkies. All of a sudden, it was real quiet. I'm like, oh, shoot, did I mess that one up? And she started laughing. She started laughing real hard. And I was like, what's wrong? And she goes, I just love Twinkies. So, you know, so, and it seemed like there's these things, too, that happen when you start doing readings on certain days. Like that one there was like, I talked to three people, I think, that either they love Twinkies or Ho-Ho's, or they had a mother or somebody close to them that did. So you have those kind of themes going on too as well. Like people crossing people's path all the time. There's reasons why they do. So it's a good thing to pay attention. I always tell people reflections are not always bad reflections. They're reflections of all kinds. You need to pay attention to those things. But I always say if we pay attention and see the reflections for exactly what they are, all they're going to do is help us realize things about ourselves. And then we're going to sit there and grow. And then that's when the eureka moments happen with this.
Right, right.
Hey, hello, how are you? I'm like, I'm fine now. But
it took me a long time. I mean, it's like at the beginning years, like when I was, what, like 16 to 20, it really didn't set in until like 21 to 30. And then 30 to 40, it's like, okay, what happened to it? So, yeah, I guess we just have to tap into that power and actually meditate and focus. And if it's something we really want to know, which is the bottom line. And if we're not too scared to find out what, you know, a higher being has to tell us.
Oh, yeah. That is so true, because I'm sort of looking at the situation myself and going, you know, this is kind of crazy. But when you really sit there and look at situations like that and try to really pick them up, because a lot of us have a tendency to go through those periods.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have to realize one thing, too. All right? Is that in the course of our lives, we're subjected to a lot of things. We have to pay attention to what we're eating, too. A lot of things, this has been proven in fact with people who are addicted to anything, they seem to have this craving for divine love. You know, at this time, they're doing things to drown that voice out, to hear that, to feel that connection. So when you sit here and look at the situation, it can drive you crazy. It really can. But it's just the idea, like I said, you know, like I used to tell people, I said, why don't you just do some fasting? Okay? And they go, well, fasting, isn't that something for it's a spiritual thing. It is a spiritual thing. Okay? It is a spiritual thing. But see, the reason it's a spiritual thing because we don't realize how many toxins we're taking in our bodies.
Right.
Okay? In the process of taking toxins into our body, then we're blocking off these senses, because there's every chakra we have, it's backed up by a physical sense. There was actually, I wouldn't say all of them, but there's a lot of them. Like we always talk about the butterflies. Actually, what the butterflies is your solar plex kicking in, warning you of something, kind of situation you're in, because you feel a little helpless and powerless. And that's the one that's in charge of power and control. So when you feel the opposite, they have a tendency to kick in. I always tell people, when you meet somebody, you should really pay attention to that instead of looking at, oh, it's cute, I have butterflies in my stomach. Because every time I've ever noticed those with me personally, this situation's happening, it's always been something I should have looked at instead of been pulled into. It was warning me that there's something about the situation or the person that's just not right. Mm-hmm. I didn't listen to it, because we've always been taught it when we're younger that butterflies in your stomach is you're nervous.
Mm-hmm. And you don't wanna go ahead and put a negative thought out there, because then you'd be jading the situation.
That's true. I just tell people, when you get that feeling and just like pay attention to it.
Be aware.
Okay, what is it telling you? You don't have to say anything to nobody. Because, I mean, I will say one thing, too. When I was in Colorado, the one thing I learned out of everything was to keep my mouth shut. When things were happening, instead of saying, like when someone walked up to you and said, I've seen that, I've heard people do this so many times, that I've seen someone, like they were sitting there, somebody walks up to them and hands them a check for $2,500. And they'll go, I can't accept this. You know, I can't accept charity. Okay, whatever. I say, if somebody walks up to you and hands a check to you for $2,500 or $25,000 or whatever it is, something you did and it did yesterday manifested that. So that is yours.
Right.
And to sit there and say that, something in your head is kicking in and going, oh, I can't really take this. Why? Because my life might just actually change to be better. We're so conditioned to living less than that we have a tendency to pass up opportunities like that. And I'm sitting here going, I've even said this on the show. I say, guys, if someone walks up tomorrow and does it to you, if you say no, you should kick yourself in the ass right then and there. And say,
well,
what
I think that would just be straight up pridefulness. Like, you think you're so good.
But it happens.
You know, if you rejected that offer, I know I wouldn't reject it. And I know others that would look at me and like, oh, that is so wrong. You shouldn't be taking money that you did not work hard for. And I said, well, if somebody wants to give me something, like my mother said, you never look a gift horse in the mouth.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When I was in freaking Colorado, I used to have people give me stuff all the time. When I lived in my apartment, when I went to Colorado and I moved to Manitou Springs, which was a place I wanted to live, I put it like this, guys. When I moved to Manitou Springs, the first time I ever went there, I thought I got on my bus to go home. I had actually gotten on the wrong bus.
Okay.
And after it all happened and after it all played itself out, I realized, did I really get on the wrong bus? I think I went there for a reason, because because I was sitting there talking about a week before that, I was saying I would love to go to this place that people keep talking about, Manitou Springs, but see, it was right outside the county.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, to go to Manitou Springs, you had to pay 85 cents more on the bus. Well, I get on the bus, I get my ticket, and next thing I know, we're heading to Manitou Springs. And I'm going to go, I said, sir, where are you going? And he goes, oh, this is the bus that goes to Manitou Springs. I'm like, I don't have 85 cents. And the guy goes, just sit back and enjoy the ride. Okay, so I said, okay, no problem, thank you. So I get up there, it was around Christmas time, and I described Manitou Springs at that time, it was almost like taking a trip through Santa's workshop.
Uh-huh.
It was really cool. It was all decorated up. You know, they had these big cone roofs, and somebody had actually taken a big old hat, a big Santa's hat, and put it on top of the cone roof. And I found this nice shop that I wanted to do readings in, which never really happened, never manifested until a year later. But it did manifest, and it did happen. I remember exactly what I said was, I'd love to live here, and I would love to have this shop, and I would love to do readings in this shop. And
right.
I said, okay, God and angels, if this is meant to happen, then I put it in your hands and let it play out. But it'll be a sign for me that if this does happen, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And a year later, things started falling into place after being kicked out by somebody and basically in a situation of being homeless, that I sat there and said, okay, why am I homeless? The reason I was homeless because I wasn't listening. And, and I said, okay, if that's the case, then so from this point on, I do not want to be in the street. I do not want to. I want to have a place to lay my head, and I want it now.
Mm-hmm.
And the angels were like almost saying, okay, it's about time. So I was walking around, and I guess I'd had a couple times. Trust me, I already had a couple things that came through that happened for me. But I started taking note right there because the lady I had a job. And I had 2 days before, when this all happened, I had 2 days to go before I got paid.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there going, but it was actually 4 days. Okay, so I talked to my landlord, I talked to my employer. I can't remember her name now. Julie. Her name was Julie. And I was kind of scared at first, but I kept on hearing this voice say, go talk to her, go talk to her. So I said, okay, fine. I went to talk to her. I actually went to talk to her manager first. I knew her pretty well. So I walked up to her and I said, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to know if you let me stay in one of your rooms for 2 days until I get paid, and then I can go and figure out something from there on. I don't know why I said 2 days, but I said 2 days. Well, she looked at me, and I always noticed that too when I manifested things and things came to me. It was like I always got more than what I asked for. Okay?
Right.
I'm sitting here asking for a room. That's all I wanted to do was a room. She said no. I said, okay, no problem. She goes, no, I can do one better. I'll let you stay in one of my cabins. So you're going to have some privacy and be away from the beaten path. I'm like, really? And I was sitting there thinking, okay, thank you. And I walk in the office and Michelle was sitting there and she looked at me and I was like, what's wrong? And she goes, that's so funny. I said, why? She goes, Julie has never let anybody stay here. Even people who even offered to pay, she never did. She let you stay here. I said, you think she got the hots for me? And she's like, no. I said, I don't think so either. I just think it's one of those things that when you ask for something, when it defies reality for everybody else, that's when you get jealousy from other people. Because they're looking at you going, okay, why does this person get this? Because I asked for it. And you didn't. Okay, so I sit here and stay for 2 days. I'm sitting here going, why 2 days? I had 4 days before payday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 2 days. So 2 days came up. I started walking off. My angels came to me and said, okay, where do you want to live? I said, I want to live in Manitou Springs. They go, okay, start walking that way. So I did. I just, right at that moment, you know, I got back to where I was before. I just started listening spontaneously and just followed through. No matter how crazy it was, how much it didn't make no sense to me, I just followed through with it. So I started walking toward Manitou Springs, which was all uphill. It's up in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
I walked by this hotel, and they said, okay, go in this hotel. I'm sitting there going, but I only have $17, and it's $35 a night. And they go, go in this hotel. I said, well, you know, it's like, and they said, but you said you weren't going to argue anymore. I'm not arguing. Oh, maybe I am. So I stopped and said, oh, you're right, I'm arguing. They said, go in the hotel. I said, okay, I will. So I walked in the hotel, and I always knew, even before that, I knew that when I did those things, miracles happen, as people call it. So I walk up in the hotel, and as I'm walking through the door, they said, tell me about the girl that threw you out in the streets and put you here. I say, well, then she won't give me a room. And they go, no, tell her the truth. She'll know the truth. Okay, so I walked in there and talked to this lady for about an hour. And then she looked at me and she's like, I promised myself I wouldn't do this again. But we'll give you a room. So then I sit there and I always tell people that I get more when I ask for. And they go, well, how'd you get more than that? She gave you a room. I said, but she didn't ask for it. I said, I got $17. You want that? And she said, no, keep it. So that's how I got more out of the whole thing, because it was actually basically she let me have it for 2 days without no money at all. I mean, sure, I paid for it later, but see, it defies reality. Everybody else would tell you that you could not do those things unless you had money first.
And I completely agree with everything you're saying, because I too in my life have came across obstacles and hard times and have did, like, you know, a total complete spin, and people are like, you know, there's something different about you, because, you know, for most people we have to wait this long, or, you know, most people don't get ahead as far as you do. But then in their eyes I'm ahead, but in my eyes I think I'm just in the line with everybody else.
Yes, and when I told you before that a year before that I had actually declared I wanted to have that shop, and I wanted to live in Manitou Springs, right? And that shop, I said I wanted that shop, right? Well, when I stayed in that hotel, I didn't know at the time, but when I stayed in the hotel, I found out that the lady there also, her husband was also managing an apartment complex up in Manitou Springs I actually wanted to live in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He managed it, and then when I actually got an apartment through him. In the same way, I was up there, didn't have no money to get an apartment, but she came to me and said, he has 5 apartments available, I'm going to take a look at him. And my angel said, again, this is a good time to learn how to shut up and say, okay. So I did. I went up there and looked at 5 apartments. I found one I really liked, which was kind of funny, too, because it was 308. And then not too long, well, it's actually about this last year, I found out that in numerology, I'm a master number 11.
Okay.
I never knew that, but here's 3. I loved. It was always 11s for me, and then I found this apartment I loved, which was 308, which is 11. So I said, I looked at this guy and I said, Leon, I love this apartment. I just love it. That's all I come and say it over and over again. I love this. I love this. I would love to have this apartment. He looked at me right in the face and he said, You don't have any money, do you? I'm like, See, I'm a person that won't tell you anything. I'll keep my mouth shut. But if you ask me, I will tell you the truth. So
right.
He asked me, and I said, no, I don't. And he said, Okay, well, He said, hold on for a minute. I said, okay, no problem. He looked around the apartment. He walks out, and then he comes back in about 10 minutes later, and he goes, I got a deal for you. I said, okay. And it was almost like I was waiting for it. I'm waiting for to say, okay, give me a deal. He looked at me, and he said, my maintenance man is drunk again. I need to paint this apartment. If you finish painting this apartment, I'll let you move in now. That'll give you the month of November. And he said, when December comes along, we have a special going on. All you have to do is have $99 for the deposit, and you move in. He said, I know you already be here, but see, you're not paying any money this month, so that I can still give that to you in December. Will 2 months be good enough for you to get on your feet?
Wow.
Now, you see, the opportunity came up. I got the apartment before I had money. But also, yeah. I also noticed, too, I always say that miracles happen and all these things, you can manifest anything you want to, but the one thing you need to do is put yourself in the right place to receive. Okay?
Right.
It seemed like they were putting me in the apartment because my landlord and his wife were walking around. If you ever saw this little town, it's a great place to go walking at when the sun sets. And they would take a walk every day, right? Well, they walked by that shop, and a lady was renting the shop. She rented the shop out. She sit there, they ran into each other, they talked to each other, and the lady says she's looking for a male reader to work with her in that shop. My landlord came to me later on and told me about it, gave me the phone number, and 2 days later I was working in there.
Like you said, manifestation.
Yes, but the one thing about the whole thing was it didn't stop there. What happened was a month later, an opportunity came up where I owned half that shop.
Wow.
So you see, I told her, and the first person I had to call was that lady who threw me out, because all she would do was throw me out, let me hit the streets for a little while, and then she'd pick me up. And I said, no more. I'm getting away from the whole thing, and it was almost like saying I'm going back into my life and doing what I was meant to do in the first place. And when I did that, that's when everything started falling into place.
Yeah.
Like when I got in that shop, I could manifest at least 10 readings a day. And I started going from making $276 every 2 weeks to making $200 a day. So it was just the idea of changing my thinking, changing my thought process, and going, okay, what do I want to do in my life? What do I really want to do? And I was sitting there, I remember too, because I was looking at when I looked at the shop the first time, I was like, all I really want to do is work in this shop and do nothing but readings and work with people and do that kind of work and whatever comes along with it. And the next thing I know, that's exactly what I was doing. So I always encourage people. See, my biggest thing is, if you're in something that you really love to do, you're gonna do nothing but really prosper other people. They're gonna look at you, and you love what you do, and they're gonna go do what they want to do. And
right.
Then it's like a chain reaction, which helps the world. Because if everybody decided to give, it will come right back to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chain reaction. And I don't know where this saying came from. I was looking on my site today, and I was like, I wanted to put things in big captional letters and trying to kind of like capitalize things on my website, like some other ones I've seen before. But I wanted to make sure that it was something that reflects everything I do. And that's one thing I do with my shop too. In my shop, if you would have walked in my shop, you would have seen that everything in there reflected who I was. And for some reason, I really didn't do a lot of. I wasn't really working a lot on reflections and counseling and that kind of stuff. But for some reason, I've always been led that way. I've always seemed to have the answers in those situations. So I didn't realize at the time I was actually doing the same thing. I felt like I had to have my, because we had, what the shop was, it was two rooms. She had one, I had the other one. And I just sat there and took my space and made it who I was. So when people walked in, I wanted them to feel very comfortable, very warm. And I know for a fact that when people are comfortable and open, they're more open. And it works,
right.
It works a whole lot better. But if you would have seen her side, it was kind of like really funny. It was almost like a yin yang. Because if you look at her, she was the opposite. Everything in her side of the shop was for show. It was props and that kind of stuff. And I just felt like in order to reflect every people who, you know, come in there and really take me seriously, it had to be really who I was. No hiding, no nothing like that. So there's always my door is actually open. And my partner, she wanted to put curtains and all kinds of stuff. She put this netting stuff on the walls and on the windows. And I was like, no, it has to be open. So I would take that and open the door and throw that thing over. And she was like, what are you doing that for? You don't want people to see you, do you? I said, yeah, I do. That's the whole point. But you're always complaining, why don't I get any readings? And so maybe if you be more open, because I said everybody's happy and that kind of stuff. I do get irritated with some people because they think when you're being nice to them, you just want something. That's their life reflecting, coming through, going. And I got to come back and say, no, this is me. And if you really see it, you're going to see it. But I also noticed that when you put yourself in something you love to do, too, the people that are some people also reflect it back to you, too, like in the sense of they'll give you hugs. They'll treat you good. They'll tip you. They'll actually pay you more than what you were asking for. I've had that happen so many times. That's why I'm going back to Colorado. People go, what do you want to go back to Colorado for? I said, I actually make money. Because it's like everybody in the Midwest, you give them a nice little price. They want to knock you out of it until you're giving it to them for free. And then they come back and they treat you like garbage because they don't feel like you have any worth because you gave it away for free. So it's like a contradiction. But they do that. And so you sit there and look at the situation. You go, okay, we'll change this. But if you had an opportunity to really go somewhere where you want to be at, do you think it's really your job to change that place where you're at? Or is it more or less of seeing you walk and go somewhere else where you really want to be at? Because maybe in the process of you moving, they're going to see that positive go out, and they're going to want it.
I believe that. I do. It's just I just sometimes feel that I got like this aura about me. Oh, hate me. Envy me. Seriously. And it's like, especially from friends that knew me from grade school, it's like, oh, come on, grow up now, you know?
What does it mean, grow up? Does that mean grow up? Grow up and be miserable?
Yeah, for them, maybe. Not for me. It's just, you know, I guess I'm one of those people that, well, not happy-go-lucky, but I just want to see the best for everybody. And I guess the majority of my friends are, you know, mm-hmm. they're about themselves and don't care about what anybody else is going through, you know. And I guess that's just me by nature.
It's okay to care about other people, what they're doing, but sometimes you have to really look at the situation. And I guess play the part like a paramedic would. To be really effective and actually helping those people change their lives, you have to be just a little bit, I don't know how to put it, not really not emotional, but not really putting your emotions into it,
mm-hmm.
to see that, to be objective, but still
right.
enjoy.
And that's hard for me. That really is hard for me because, you know, if I see a homeless person on the street, even if I have $2 or even $1 to my name, I give them that dollar. Mm-hmm. I'll have a dollar come from somewhere or another, not knowing where it's going to come from, but I know I'll get it back and probably double.
That's true. See, what I'm saying is by being objective, you have been, because you're giving it to those people for the reason that they're asking for it, because they just want it, and you want to give it, and just leave it that way. You don't want to put any more energy into it and say, well, maybe they're going to go out and buy beer, and maybe they're going to buy alcohol. It doesn't matter. Once that money leaves your hand and goes in their hands, that's their money.
Yeah, I don't care. I know, again, a lot of people say, you know what they're going to do with this. I said, I don't know what they're going to do with it because I don't watch them. But then again, I don't care what they do with it. I just know somebody was in need, and I was there to give. And if I don't got it, I can't give it. But if I got it, I will give it, even if, you know, I got very little of it.
I'm just saying, with the situation, like, I used to do the same thing too. People walk up to me and I was like, hey, you know, I'm going to church. And all I had on me was 6 cents. And they're like, Well, what can you do with 6 cents? Well, 6 cents can turn into 12 cents. 12 cents will turn into 24 cents, so on and so on. And it actually accumulates. If you saved a penny, one penny every day for a year, you'd have 365 pennies.
Right.
That's a whole lot more when you start out the first year. So see how it accumulated? It's the same with spirituality. As you're going through your life, you start acquiring things, or the idea of realizing, it's more of like a realization of how powerful you are. So you start realizing that a lot of things that you wish you was, you just have to come to a realization of what they are and accept it and then follow through and be it. Or like the idea of finding the right person in your life. It's not the idea of finding the right person. It's the idea of finding the right path to the person you were supposed to be in the first place. So when you look at those things, it kind of makes it easier to think of it and say, okay, well, that's kind of easy. And I've heard people say this is not easy. Yes, you're right, it's not easy, but it's not impossible. Let's say that. It's not impossible. It might be a little hard to get there. Or maybe it's not hard. Maybe it's one of those things you're thinking about it too much and you're putting too much energy into, I don't know if I can do it, and not realize by putting all the energy into that part of the equation instead of putting your energy into the solution, that's why it's hard. Because you build a wall of energy, negative stuff that's going on. And you're thinking, because I sit here and saw a vision I had once before where it was like, all this stuff's going on around me. And in a dream, I went to go touch it. It's almost like it was represented in my dream as the wall. But all these things are happening to you is a wall. When I walked up to the wall, my hand went through it. So what it's telling me is, all this stuff right now is just an illusion. Because I'm focusing on the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I focus on the solution, the less this is going to be.
Right.
And then tomorrow, I'm going to have what I wanted. So it's just the idea of clearing all that out and realizing that brick wall you put up there is just energy, and everything in this world is that. And also the term saying everything's an illusion, because everything is not as solid as you think it is. It's all molecules and that kind of stuff and energy and everything, and that it can be directed any kind of direction you want it to. Even the scientists have proven this. Okay, that when you focus. When you take consciousness and you focus on energy, whatever you're thinking at that time, the energy starts taking that form.
Okay.
So when you have that kind of thing going on, and also I told a friend of mine, like, the reason I like this kind of lifestyle is because everything I do or see or whatever I'm putting myself into, just to me, it just really reinforces that God does exist. So the guy goes, how's that? I said, because it's been proven that without consciousness, the universe could not exist. And I know I didn't do it.
Right.
So therefore, they also say I'm an extension. I'm also created in God's image. So therefore, something bigger than I am created the universe. But we're still all a part of the same. We're all part of the whole. So therefore, it proves it again that something exists that I came from. But almost like the idea of realizing that it's like a full circle of if I believe in myself, I also believe in God, and God, and by, you know. I believe myself, I believe in God, I believe in God, I believe myself. See, it goes back and forth. But the idea of loving oneself is also the idea of love. When I love me, I love God.
Right.
So
I'm not trying to switch the subject or anything, but
yes, you are.
Since you mentioned God, let me ask you a question. When someone passes on and dies, is there a difference between cremation and burial, as far as, like, say, a loved one, do they still have the same ability to come back and watch over you?
No, yeah, because it's like as soon as you die and you're really dead, you're gone. Because I've done past life readings and that kind of stuff, and it's like I've been in a couple myself where as soon as you die, you're out of your body. You're not there anymore.
Okay.
It's
so
like Stephen Seagal. Well, Stephen Gall called it the broken vessel. There's nothing there. It's just a vessel for. It's like the body is like your vehicle for being when you're. They work hand in hand. But what I was trying to say to people is like when you're in your car, and you're driving your car for a while.
Mm-hmm.
That car feels like an extension of you.
Okay.
So when you park it, you don't need to get out this bumper. Just feel it. You know where to park. So it's like looking at your body. If you sit here and looked at that and trusted your soul, your spirit, then this outer part would actually work for you too.
Okay.
Where you would know instinctively what's going on. You have an aura too. And I've always felt the aura, when I look at it, it's an extension of the spirit. It's almost like the spirit is protecting itself.
Right.
If and then when you focus on spirit, when you're grounding yourself, what you're actually doing is, it's like physical and the spiritual are balanced one-on-one together, your physical body and your spirit. And they both exist on this plane, so therefore you have to have balance between the two.
Right.
And when you have balance.
I thought I read somewhere biblically in the Bible that, you know, maybe in Colossians or something, that when you die, then when it's time for Jesus to come back for you, that you go right back into that body that you came from. So in essence, if you are cremated, that you cannot because you're burned. And I'm thinking, well, in a box, you know, you're in a box and you turn into dirt anyway. So what's the difference?
It's like looking at the situation of asking yourself, is it someone trying to explain what death is all about? And so they have their own interpretation. Because I think for variations in the Bible, it talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus was in physical form, too, when he ascended into heaven.
Right.
But he was perfect being, too. But I always sit here and look at this situation and say, well, okay, Jesus came back and said, if you believe in him, you get to heaven. Doesn't that really mean believe in oneself? And where you can, and the connection between the two, your God essence.
Oh yeah, you can go real deep with that subject. You really can because
there's
so much out there that you know you can't even fathom it because you can't actually see it, and that comes you know from believing in what's not there or what you can't see is there.
Lisa, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have to answer. I have a bunch of people in my queue. I want to answer their. I want to sit there and answer the questions too as well. But I was going to ask you if you want to stick around and you can also tell us your impressions because I feel like you're very too. If you'd like to do that, you know, you don't have to. I'm just saying.
I'll be completely honest with you. It is getting kind of late for me, but I love talking to you and I appreciate you answering my questions. And I'm going to try to listen to you more regularly.
Okay, well, just if you ever feel like you want to pop in and do some readings with me one night, feel free to do so. Let me know.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you very much, and you have a beautiful, blessed evening.
You too. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you very much. And this, okay. I like those little spinning tops. Here we go. There we go. And our next caller. Hello.
You too.
I guess this is a Skype call. How are you today? How are you tonight? Welcome to the show. 000012. Hello.
Hello.
There.
Yeah, can you hear me?
No, I can't. It seems like you fell into a big old can.
Oh, no, please help me.
Okay, let me throw you a line. I got some really big, thick rope here.
What about now?
A little bit. Where are you? You sound familiar.
No.
I swear.
No, I don't think I've ever called you before.
Okay. Well, you have a couple questions for us?
I'm calling you about my relationship.
Oh, I'm sorry. We do that on Thursdays.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. I said we don't do relationships on Saturdays. That's on Thursdays. But I'm just kidding.
Okay.
What's your name?
My name is Anna.
And is there any way that you could do something with that connection?
I can hang up and try to call you back.
Okay, so are you calling? I'm just saying, can you hear? The last time I heard a noise like that, someone was actually listening to me on their connection on the other side too, and it was like coming through.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to cut you off or nothing like that. I was just saying. But you're talking about relationships and that kind of stuff and with your situation. I was asking, okay, I asked you what your name was.
Anna?
Hannah. Is it Hannah or Anna?
Hannah.
Hannah. Okay, Hannah. What's the situation? Can I ask where you're calling from?
Boston.
Boston. I should have knew that, the accent, but sometimes I get mixed up with the Boston thing and the New Hampshire, I think. Not to insult anybody or nothing. Wow. When I sit here and focus on this situation, it's almost like I really get an intense feeling with you where it's like you are really wanting something real this time in your life. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does make sense.
You know, that's the biggest thing I got with you was like, I don't want to go through that crappy stuff again, almost to the point where you were kind of almost denouncing marriage and all kinds of stuff with it, which you're just not ready to give up on that just yet. Okay.
Right. Well, I'm in a relationship right now, so.
Well, there's a lot of questions about it too, as well. I mean, why are you questioning that relationship? It seems like, I think in some sense of the word, I can understand why you're questioning, but it seems like that when I get prompted to do that, it's something that you need to hear. You need to hear yourself while you're asking, why am I asking questions? Does that make sense to you?
Right. Is somebody moving like their speaker around or their microphone?
No, I'm actually shuffling cards, so.
That's
one thing you have to deal with, guys. When I'm shuffling my cards, I've been thinking about getting a nice little pad or some kind of kind of had this thing in my head too, a piece of cloth where it wouldn't be so loud. But I used to do this a lot anyway because people were not believing me that I was even shuffling cards. So sometimes it's kind of hard to please everybody. So I'm trying. And with the situation, I've been picking up some things with you and that kind of stuff, and it's not the idea of irritating you, and I'm actually done. I'm done with this whole thing. I was shuffling, and I just cut the deck for you. I just felt like it was I was prompted to cut the thing for you. And what I get,
Thank you.
Very first card I got with you was Life Review. It's basically prompting you to take an inventory of your life and to resolve and change and heal anything that's imbalanced in your life. And it's kind of funny that this card would come out because we're focusing on this relationship that you're in, that there's some things about it that you're not too happy with, even to the point of almost like you get an impression that there's some realizations that you've come to, it's just that you need to really follow through with them.
Right.
That makes sense to you now, doesn't it? Because, I mean, what's the guy's name? Can I ask that question, please?
Shannon.
Okay. And when I sort of think of the situation, the energy is very strong, but it's also very back and forth. I mean, I get an impression with the person themselves where it's like they're not really sure what they want either.
Right.
When was the last time you actually sit down with her and sit there and talked about the whole thing? And I mean, the energy is kind of, I mean, it's just like you look at it, you get masculine, you get feminine, you get like four or five different directions of going in this, I got to do this, I got to do this, almost to the point where they're playing a part. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, well, he's not the most grounded person.
No, he's not. He's also questioning his spirituality. He's questioning his sexuality. He's questioning, and we could just keep going on. And it's like I see things of you guys crossing paths, but I don't think he's learning from that. Because when I look at the situation, it's almost like outgrowing somebody because they refuse to continue to grow. So it's, you see you questioning things in the process of questioning, there's been some growth and you just seem more spiritual than he is. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, that is correct, 100%.
So you've outgrown him because he refuses to, I mean, guys, I can look at the guy and go, okay, there's so many realizations around him and he still questions them. Almost like I'm not going to, it's like a person who has a really, really strong commitment phobia to the point where he won't commit to nothing. If you want some pizza or spaghetti, no. He just doesn't want to commit to any kind of answer or anything. So when I see someone who's got that kind of a commitment problem to the point where they can't even commit to a question, it's one of those things of having a problem with themselves.
Right. So I mean, I've been thinking a lot about leaving. Like, I couldn't sleep last night because that's all I could think about.
Well, when I sit here and look at the situation, the way it comes to me is it's a spiritual understanding and a power. Because in the process of leaving, we get that back. In the process of staying, all you're going to do is see where you've relinquished your power. By leaving, you can actually grasp it and go, okay, I'm packing it up. This is like, it's like exchanging the bags, your baggage, in exchange for getting back your energy and moving forward. And that's the spiritual understanding. Because a lot of times when we're in situations, people don't understand a spiritual understanding or a spiritual growth is the idea of realizing at that moment that you had this eureka moment, saying, okay, I need to go. The strength and the understanding is the ideal of that's when you're supposed to leave and actually doing it. Because I get the impression with the situation, you should have left a long time ago. And this was like two months ago you were doing the same thing. Because I'll sit here and look. I'm going to put down three more cards for you, but I really have to get on with everybody else. But I will tell you right now, with the three cards I got intentions, celebrations, and surrender and release. So when I sit here and look at the situation, after we've already had the spiritual understanding card, we got intentions. You need to take your intentions and do exactly what you know you need to do, which we've already discussed. You keep saying, I want to leave. That's what you really want to do. So you can question why you're still there, but I think it's one of those things you already know why you're staying. Because in the process of this situation, you're hoping that this guy that you're with, you wake up tomorrow morning and all those things that you've been going through and all the things that you're hoping that would happen with him would be just like they are. And he would be what you want him to be. But it says, intentions is to walk away. Then it shows celebration by releasing this. And the only way you can do that is to do exactly the idea of leaving. Intentions, celebration, and surrender and release. Because a lot of times, even after we move and we leave, we still have a tendency to hang on to the situation where we're questioning, how does he feel? And what's he going through? And who cares? And the point is, you need to focus on yourself, which is what you've been doing. The only thing that's been really keeping you from really focusing 100% on what you really need to know and what you really want to do with your life is being in this situation, this relationship. Because you have an indecisive person, and by being with that for so long, you've become indecisive yourself. And the way to clear that balance up is for you to get up and go, I know what I want to do with my life. I know what I want to be. I want to be happy. I'm not happy here. I don't feel connected to the situation anymore. And those are hard to go, okay, that's a really hard understanding. But it's not impossible. And the more you really do the physical part, the more you're going to realize why this had to be and why you had to do this. Because in some ways, this Shannon guy, you're actually enabling him to keep doing the same thing over. He needs a eureka moment too, but it won't happen in the relationship. It'll happen when it's no more, because he doesn't appreciate that. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So it's good for me to go. You're saying it's the right thing, right? That's for my highest good.
Yeah. Because in the situation, see, the one thing about relationships people don't understand is you don't attach yourself to nobody. You know, you are together because you want to be together. But if you latch onto each other, then there's no room to grow. Okay? So you basically hinder that. But you also have to understand why you're doing it, because there's a fear. When the first time you clench onto each other, there's a fear that you know for a fact this is not what it's supposed to be. And you're just not ready to give it up yet. But always remember, if you're in a relationship where you can just be yourself, you can hang out in the same room, you don't care that this person's not all over you, and you're comfortable with that, then it means you are in a good relationship because you have that space to grow in.
Thank you.
Because you need some room for yourself to be who you are, and you don't have it. That makes sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. If you really want to get a private reading with me, let me know. I'd love to do a reading with you, especially to do a past life. I think we might try to do a past life regression with you when you have the time.
Okay.
thank you for calling, and I'd love to hear from you. And what's the situation? Because one thing I do feel about this whole thing is once you leave, I don't see you coming back. It's because I see somebody else coming in who is like you.
Thank
that makes
you.
Sense. You're welcome.
Yeah, that's great.
You like it? That's it. Okay.
Well, you know, I guess it's a contrast relationship, right? Where you learn what you want and what you don't want.
I would tell people when you're in the process and you're really looking at yourself and growing a lot, kind of stuff, and you're wanting certain things, and then you're starting to realize what you really are all about. The more you know who you are, the more you recognize who you're supposed to be with. So if you're in a relationship you're not supposed to be in, the more you know who you are, the more you realize you're not supposed to be there, because you're starting to understand what it's all about, and you're looking for that person that you are supposed to be with. Because once you get to know yourself really well, like I said, it's a reflection. So you're looking at this other person going, oh, he ain't it. But you know, a lot of us don't walk out of these situations because we're like, this pride thing. I had a lady who called me who had gotten married. And she'd been married only 2 months, but she realized she made a mistake. I said, well, when you realize you made a mistake, now why would God point out that you've made a mistake if you couldn't just do something about it? That don't make no sense to me. He's pointing it out because it can be corrected. So therefore, do it. Change it. What you need to do. You need to step out. You need to step out. And in a situation like this, I mean, it's a gut feeling with you every day. I need to do this. I need to do this. And you need to honor your own feelings, too, as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You have a great night. And please call me back and tell me how your life's going. At least do that, okay?
I will. I'll keep you in mind for the future.
All righty. Thank you. And you, thank you for the call. You have a great night.
God bless.
You too. All right. Let's go on to our next caller. Area code 334. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. And what's up? Area code 334. You're on the show. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hi. How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you? Sorry about that. I had the phone on mute.
No. That's
calling because, number one, I'm a psychic medium as well.
Really? So yeah, when am I gonna meet somebody?
Yeah, I've done readings for several people, but I can't ever do them for myself. And,
what you really need to do in a situation like that, like I've done my whole life, is I started listening to all people I've gone to for readings, and started realizing I was getting the answers, and just learning how to trust myself.
See, the thing is, I believe this psychic ability is hereditary because my great-grandfather, he served two tours in Vietnam. He served two tours in Vietnam and two in Korea. He did five tours altogether. And he always came back because he knew what to do and when to do it.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, he would when he was younger, especially he would get the signal of this voice that would tell him to, you need to move, you need to leave, you need to go do something. It would tell him, you know, it would tell him what to do or guide him. And my older brother, grew up in Ohio in a very rough city.
Chicago? I mean, Cleveland?
No, Ohio.
Well, I said Cleveland.
No, it's Columbus, actually.
Oh, I live about 40 minutes from Columbus.
Yeah, he lives in the Bottoms.
Okay.
Do you know what those are?
Roadports.
And, there would be times where he'd be sitting around at a friend's house, and he would just hear a voice would say, walk around the block, go to the store.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't ignore it. He would get up and he would go and he would do it. And as soon as he would get, like, around the corner, something would happen, you know, like there'd be a gunshot or, you know, an accident or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with me, I'm disabled. I'm in a wheelchair. But I've always had that voice. And it would tell me not only when I was in danger, but when I was doing something that wasn't in my best interest.
Right.
Like, even if it necessarily wouldn't harm me, it wouldn't help me. And, you know, this voice would be like, don't do this, do this. And I would, even if I hated it, even if I hated the decision, I would go with it anyway. And I will say this, anytime I've ever ignored that voice, it has come back to bite me in the you-know-what. You know, I'm not sure if I can say that word on this show, so.
Oh, you can say ass all you want.
Okay, yeah. Like, it came back to bite me right in the ass, but, you know, it was bad. But,
gotcha.
My question is, I've got a couple of things in my mind that I'm really worried about. One is I'm about to get married to a young girl who is studying to be an engineer, and she lives in the Philippines. We met on an online game 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we have spent at least 95% of our time on webcam with one another, either through an iPod or a phone, something of that nature. We've been involved in each other's lives for 6 years. And, you know, it may look like I may have to go there in order to get married to her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem is that there's certain areas there in the Philippines that are quite dangerous for Americans. You know, there's kidnappings all the time and bombs and things of that nature. And I'm worried because, you know, though I can fend for myself better than most people in my condition, I am in a wheelchair, so I do recognize that I have the disadvantage. There's, I mean, I can't have an ego about that. And
mm-hmm.
I have to be realistic about that. I am at a disadvantage.
Makes perfect sense.
So, my question is, I love this woman enough to cross the world. I love this woman enough to literally cross time zones. She is literally 12 hours ahead of me. So she's actually into tomorrow. She's into the future. So I would literally talk time to this woman. I love this woman that much.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever met her face to face?
No, we have never met face to face. And everybody, they immediately get turned off because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about this is that we literally have never had an argument. We have never told each other a lie. We've never hidden anything from each other about anything as far as emails, text messages, anything. We were completely and openly honest, and we kind of went in it almost like a business merger. Now, here's what I mean by this. She's a very analytical person. I'm a very analytical person. So we looked at it like this. Okay, we can argue about this because I have a standpoint and you have a standpoint. Or sit down and calmly express our viewpoints and come to some medium because by the laws of nature, everything has a medium. There's a range in there where we can find some sort of compromise. So we literally do that. We don't have arguments. We have meetings. It's fantastic. I mean, we'll sit there on Skype and we'll just talk for like 2 or 3 hours, you know, whatever, about you know, whatever the problem is. And then we'll be like, oh, okay. And then go about our business and everything's fine. But my worry is I want to make sure not only do I get there, I want to make sure I get back, you know? So, is there a, you know, are you sensing a high danger about the travel or what?
You know, I really don't get any danger with this situation. It's one of those things that I keep getting the word proceed forward. Do exactly what you're going to do, how you got it planned out, what you got to do. That's why I keep getting over and over again.
Well,
I'll sit here and look at this. Go ahead.
Here's the thing that makes that they're interested is you say that you don't feel that there's a danger. My dad, you know, being in a military family and everything, he actually went and studied a bunch of martial arts and whatnot when he was younger. Well,
mm-hmm.
he was determined that even though I was in a wheelchair, I was going to be like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So he taught us things like, you know, military tactics that his dad knew, survival tactics, how to deal with your surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned through extensive meditation. When I say extensive, I mean 5-6 hours of sitting on a pillow in the middle of a room with no furniture and candles and
mm-hmm.
For 6 hours straight. And, you know, I combined that tuition with that military training. It saved me several times. It's kind of like I was saying with the psychic ability being, you know, hereditary. Every single one of the males in my family and from my father's bloodline had this ability.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's interesting enough for me to try and have to deal with this gift and whatnot, being the fact that I'm Christian, because I know scientifically what causes it, or at least what the, you know, scientists have told me have caused it. But where does that fit in with Christianity? See, because of the fact that, see, what my condition, cerebral palsy, had a stroke when I was born.
Mm-hmm.
An area of the brain that told my legs and my lower back how to work properly died. So they didn't know how to work. Well, they said over time, my brain started to map out other pathways around the dead area,
mm-hmm.
and it went directly into, it crossed through the cerebral cortex all the way over to the other side. And they say that dead center in the cerebral cortex
mm-hmm.
is what they call the third eye. And they noticed
right.
there was massive activity in that area. So scientifically it says, because I'm using more of my brain. But
right.
and in the Bible, such things, you know, are either a gift from God or they had, you know, they're of the devil, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
So what is this? Is this a gift from God? Or what?
Well, I look at the situation, guys. You know, when it comes to psychic abilities, like I told my mom before, she said that what you're doing is abomination, that kind of stuff. And you're like, okay, really? I can't imagine the devil giving me a gift that helps so many people and has helped people to change so many things in their lives. That kind of goes against what he's actually trying to do, which is basically a destructor. So when you sit and look at those situations, I look at it like this. The people who are out there doing nothing but using their abilities to get money from people and using all kinds of things. And I see a lot of psychics who do this when they are good at what they do, but they use it in different ways. They actually take people's fears and use them against them, which, if you think about it, isn't that what the devil does? He gets in, he uses your fears against you, and it works against you. So I'm just saying, with your situation, what I'm saying to you, if I sit here and say things like that, it's like reflecting back on yourself and asking yourself the same question. Do you think you're a gift, or do you think you are out to really do people in?
Well,
if you come,
let me explain. I'll give you a little bit of a background on it. I had the ability to see spirits
mm-hmm.
ever since I was a little boy. I could tell, you know, I could hear them, I could see them all over the place. And, well, you know, I've been throughout my life, it got stronger, it didn't go away. So I contacted a woman by the name of Lisa Miller.
Mm-hmm.
She did a show called Psychic Kids on Sci-Fi
right.
Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And she had her colleagues work with me and they said, based off the evidence that I presented to them, that I was a psychic medium who had multiple abilities to communicate to the dead, those that were both here and that had crossed over, as well as other open abilities they didn't specify. Well, later I learned that I could do certain things, like if I concentrated really hard, I could move small objects. I could, if I thought really hard, I could make something happen. I wanted somebody to do something, I could look at them and just, it's like a picture, okay, you know, like a computer connects to the internet, right? You have the, you know, the little box down at the bottom, and you see the two boxes, and they're bouncing back and forth. That's what I see in my head. I take their consciousness, and I connect it with mine. I project my consciousness to them, and I receive theirs, and I transfer the information, and it's focused on it, and it's amazing how quick it happens within like 10 seconds of me doing this. They will literally stand up or get up from what they were doing and do what I asked them to do. Like, my brother was here. My older brother from Ohio was visiting here. And he was sitting there watching a movie. And he had been outside all day, so he was hot and tired. I was like, there's no way he's doing it. He's going to do it. He even promised me he was going to give me. He had a gift for me, but it was at the top of the closet. So he climbed up again. Well, I looked at him, and I just thought, you know, man, you really you promised that you get that for me, and you haven't yet. And then he stops. He literally just gets a blank look, at the blank, just a blank face. He turns, and he looks at me. He says, I promised you I'd get you that box, didn't I? Let me go do that. And he got right up, and he went, and he got it. And I did it like two or three times with other members of my family. And I was like, this is incredible. Amazing. Amazingly, even still, the one that I found has been most accurate and really, really kind of nifty. If I think about it really hard, I can change streetlights.
Really?
Yeah, that's fun. I remember my younger brother, Matthew, had his first son, Trent. Well, on the day that his wife went into labor, we were rushing to the hospital. And I'm talking about, this was a good 35, 40-minute trip. I mean, because we were way out. And I made sure that every single street light that we passed within that 40-minute stretch was green. We never hit a red light.
That's cool. I need you around when I'm late for work.
The thing about it is, I don't have to change the light in front of me. I have to change the other lights around me so that they all turn red and mine turn green so nobody runs into anybody.
That's a nifty gift, I got to work on that one.
Focus. That's all it takes. It's amazing concentration. Okay. I know that you probably have other callers, but my final question.
Okay.
That's what I'm really, really kind of unsure about. The past 5 years, I've been working on research. Now, it's only in theory, but it's based off of previous medical research that had been done. I kind of took the research that was done and connected the dots, so to speak. And there's other companies that have, you know, people that have been, you know, graduated with medical degrees and funding that are working on the exact same thing. I'm working on a cure for cancer, not just for one type, but for all of them. And the thing is that I figured it out in theory, but I need more resources. Well, my question is, will I find the resources I need? Because I need to find somebody that I can, that has some sort of knowledge about this sort of thing that I can entrust to discuss this with that won't steal it. Because before you can patent it, you have to write a medical thesis to prove that you were the one that invented it. Well, before you can write the thesis, you have to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to, well, you have to have data.
Right.
The thesis. And I need help. And my question is, am I going to find that help and do what I believe I'm destined to do? Because I believe I believe that I'm destined to find the cure for cancer. Because the simple fact is that I've been so fascinated since I was, you know, a small child.
All right. No, I get the impression you will. I get the impression you will. And I keep getting very soon. I was actually getting like, it's going to be 2 months and then summer, and then I got this thing. But I just keep, when I see things like that, I just feel like things are going to start happening where you're going to see a constant progression of going toward it. So it's like a gradual thing where you're going to see things happen in 2 months during the summer and then so on, where you know that you're going in the right direction. Even connecting with the right, I keep getting two people that you'll be working with exclusively and have your best interest at heart.
Do you know if they're male or female or ages maybe?
I get males. I get two males about in their mid-40s.
Okay. Probably some sort of researcher. I'll keep that in mind.
Exactly. One guy has glasses, a beard, a mustache, kind of grayish. One guy likes the white coat. The other guy doesn't, likes to shy away from it. But they work together.
Yeah, let me see if I'm getting the same impression you are. Just a tan dress jacket.
Yeah.
And office attire, tan dress jacket, blue shirt, red tie, simple.
Mhm. But he doesn't like wearing the white coat. But he works with a guy who, you see him in a white coat all the time.
Yeah.
So they're like night and day, but they work well together, and they're also very passionate.
I get the impression that one of them is German.
I would say so, yeah. Especially the guy who wears the white coat, I think. Yeah.
And maybe either American or probably French.
I would probably go more with the French dude. When it comes to me, it's more like he might be French background, but he might be an American. But there's more of a French connection to it. Like French connection.
How are we doing on time, man?
I got about 32 minutes, and I got about 4 other callers to go. So.
Okay. Well, do you have about 3 more minutes? We could hit on something that I was talking about on a couple of other shows.
3 minutes, but no more.
Okay. 3 minutes on the clock.
All right.
Speaking with the Eastside Paranormal Investigative Service on here about the struggle between my faith as a Christian and the fact that I am something that most people don't believe exists. I'll go ahead and say it. There's no other way to put it. I'm a vampire. Not a lifestyler, an actual biological vampire. And it's sort of an interesting struggle there because, you know, you literally can't really go to people and tell anybody because you can't go and tell your, you know, friends and family because they're going to think that you're, you know, a loon.
Right.
But it's an interesting lifestyle, but I speak about it any chance I get so that I can educate people because I think the more that people listen, the better it is for everybody because, you know, knowledge is always better than ignorance. And, you know, I feel better, you know, as a person when I talk about it. It feels better to express it you know, as opposed to hiding what I am. So,
And
I believe that also helps with the psychic ability because of the type of vampire that I am. If you get a chance, read a book called The Psychic Vampire Codex.
Okay.
It's written by a woman by the name of Michelle Belanger. She wrote a few other books as well. One of them is called Vampires, and it explains basically everything about us.
Okay. I will.
It's an interesting read. And I'd love to talk with you more about this. As a matter of fact, I've got my computer right here in front of me. If you'll give me just a second to bring up my email, I can email you about this back and forth.
Okay. Yeah, email me and... Ouch.
Sorry, I'm trying to get my computer to move as quick as I can. The machinery doesn't work as fast as I do.
Right. Gotcha. No, I understand that one. I have the same problem.
Well, the same thing is, I'm a computer programmer. I've been programming computers since I was 15 years old.
Stella.
Most of the other psychics I know have been asking about my birthday. My birthday is March 21st. So, I'll be turning 23 in like 2 days. What's your email?
My email is what is it? Psychic-journeyman61.
Hold on now.
Crazy. I'm losing.
Journeyman
60 woman. At live.com.
Live.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now ready?
Just so that I've got it right, it's psychic-journeyman61@live.com.
That's right.
All right, got it.
Okay.
Man, you have a great evening.
You too. Thank you. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go to our next caller, and I just want to tell everybody that I do private readings. If you want to contact me for private readings, right now we have a special going on until tomorrow. If you donate $99 to the show, I will actually give you 11 60-minute sessions. That's right. And if you don't have $99, you want to donate $50, then I'll give you six. If you have a deal that you want to throw on the table too, let me know. I have never said no to anybody. We're just trying to pay some bills before Monday, so I guess we're just asking for a little support here, because I want to keep the show going, really do, and and I'm going to take advantage of the whole thing, take advantage of those readings. Give me a call at 740-601-9835. Again, that number is 740-601-9835, or contact me through my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. Also, we've been talking about these HemiSync CDs too, so if you want to check those out, the information for that is they're great meditational CDs, and I have a lot of friends that have tried them and stuff like that and swear by them. So you can either give them a call, which is 1-800-541-2488. You can also call them through call them at 434-263-8692. If you want to give a preview and look at them on the internet, that's www.hemi, H-E-M-I, dash sync, SYNC.com. Check them out. They're a really good deal. They got some great specials going on, okay? And like I said, the $99 special for the 11 readings is going on until tomorrow midnight. So I hope you all take advantage of the whole thing. I'd love to give whoever does donate those situations. It's one of those things that you can do anything you want to with those readings. You can get past life readings. You can get, you know, relationship counseling, life coaching, spiritual, whatever it is, whatever I do, you can use those sessions for that. So it really gives you a lot of leverage there, because if you look on my website, you'll see that just for one session goes for $99. So you're going to get 11 for just $99. So check it out. And again, give me a call, 740-601-9835. And let's go into our next caller. Hello, area code 623. How are you today? Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
This is Stella, also known as Jane Austen.
Wanna Stella.
Everyone on the chat. Hi, everybody.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I was thinking about, you know, the old, what's his name? God, I can't think of his name now. I can see Rebel had a call.
He came on Streetcar Thing Desire. Marlon Brando?
Yeah, thank you. Stella, okay. So go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, so, I did donate. I don't know if you've gotten it yet. I made a donation.
Yes. I thank you very much for that.
You're very welcome.
I mean, I'm always looking for huge ones, but everything I appreciate. So I understand, you know, it's like a little bit of a situation.
My trip, that's what I'm calling for, just to see. with all this stuff going on, you know, with the earthquakes and the tsunami,
mm-hmm.
we haven't taken a trip in over 2.5 years. We're finally going in April to Las Vegas.
Ah, yes.
I'd like to know, what do you see? Is it going to be okay for me? Should I go? It's on April 15th.
I see a big crack going down Main Street in Las Vegas.
You know, they got a new bridge going towards, Hoover Dam. We're going to go over that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids yesterday were talking about going, oh, I hope there's no earthquake. We're crossing over that bridge. They go, don't say that. Oh, my God, don't say that.
I know. I'm also one of those people, when I'm on an airplane, I look out the window and go, oh, my God, the wing just fell off. Okay. But people are going, that's kind of cruel, isn't it? And I said, yeah, but just get real. I mean, would I be so calm of looking out a window and saying the wing just fell off? I think I'd be in panic mode. But I've always told people, when I get on planes, they know what I do. And they always ask the same question. Are we going to make it from point A to point B? I said, yes. I've already invoked Archangel Michael to protect us and to get us to where
we're going.
Or you
would be on the plane if you knew something was going to happen.
Right. If I was on a plane, I would be out of here. Because people ask me, what do you think? I'm like, I'm sitting right here very calmly. And then we went through some turbulence, and they're going, doesn't this bother you? I said, I told you. I got it. We have protection around the plane. We're good to go. We're getting where we're going to go. So these turbulences, it's just a little irritating. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. But they have a tendency to be, because I don't tell people, when you worry, I don't like you. Get away from me, because you're bringing bad.
Yeah, me too. Especially when I'm going to trip. Just be happy. I told my husband, I don't want to hear nothing negative all this month. Let's talk happy things.
These are the same people who go to amusement parks.
Talk about the vacation we had in the past. Nothing negative. I want to be happy about this.
That's what I'm saying. These are the same people who are on this freaking plane freaking out, who go to freaking amusement parks and get on roller coasters. Now, come on. that's an up and down situation every time. So it's like, okay, you're screaming, you're coming out of your seat, but you're scared the plane's going to crash. Come on. That's just a lot of worry you don't need to do, because you didn't worry about that when you sit in that line for an hour and a half just to scare the hell out of yourself. And look at this thing, you know, it's a bargain. But
so we're driving to Las Vegas, and I'm driving to Arizona.
I don't see any mishaps going to on your trip or nothing like that, because what I get, my impression is you're going to see some things before and things after that might make you worry and might put you in a state of this and that and the other, but you need to look at those things for what they are. They're happening right then and there. They're not going to happen when your trip's going on. I just don't see any mishaps.
Okay, good.
Let me take a deep breath and go, nothing is going to happen. I get the impression, but everything's going to happen. But it's all positive stuff that you've been planning and wanting to do, and they're all going to play out like they're supposed to.
That's good to hear.
The thing I got was, if you see a slot machine with the number 8 on it, Do not play that one.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm into the number 8 here. Because I study feng shui, and I know the number 8's good, but you're telling not to play anything with 8, okay, I won't touch it then.
Yeah, but see, it's coming to you saying, okay, feng shui is good, but see, only in certain situations, I mean, like people look at the situation of a good thing with feng shui, like if you have a mountain behind you and water and a source of water in front of you, that's good. Okay, but you could also be in California and still get hit with a big old wave, a tsunami or whatever they call those things, which you would still have the same thing. So we have to look at the feng shui thing too, but we also have to listen to our intuition and what our guides are telling us at the same time too. Because feng shui is basically a way of utilizing the energy that's in your environment. Okay?
Yeah.
But there's also energy within oneself too that needs to be really focused on too and paid attention to. So they have to work. Because feng shui is balancing everything out. But sometimes we have a tendency not to take and notice our own internal feng shui, which is balancing out the physical with the spiritual, which, you know, if you're sitting around, people go, I'm not getting good results. I've done the feng shui thing. What's wrong? Have you worked on yourself? Oh, yes. Because I had a lady this morning who called me on Keen, and she basically said, you need to work on, you need to do some meditations and some chakras, auras. And she was like, I don't care about that crap. All I want to do is I want to find a boyfriend. Okay, I'm giving you the tools to open up those freaking sensors so you can actually know when he's there and you can actually see and feel his essence. But if you don't go that route, that's fine with me. But, you know, it's, people think that if you can just obtain certain things without doing the work. But if you do the work, I guarantee you that the results are going to be really smooth and come into play a whole lot quicker. And it also helps you let down the resistance to basically to let in what you were meant to have in the first place.
Yeah,
okay.
Very powerful meditation. It's very powerful.
Yeah, so I don't...
Little things you can see clearly.
Yeah.
But I couldn't see. I usually have dreams like... Because I'm one of those psychic dreamers. I rarely get premonitions. No, I should say rarely, because I do get premonitions. I'm just still not... when I get a premonition, I'll go like, oh, I'll shake it off. And then I'll hear later on about something. I go, you know, I just thought about that. I was feeling that. And I let it go. I just ignored it. And but I haven't been feeling anything about this trip. And I said, I usually have dreams about what I'm going to do in the future when I plan something. I haven't had anything. It's like a block.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm calling. I said, I need to hear someone say, tell me what's going on here. Why am I getting a block here?
I was just saying that, you know something, aren't you tired of seeing the same old, it's going to be good. You know, what kind of mishap could you have? You might trip over a piece of carpet on the floor when you're in a casino. But... You're not a. I just feel like that when you look at the situation, go, okay, that's the only thing's going to happen. Okay, yes, but if you dwell on it too much, that could actually spurt. You've seen people do this before, where one thing happens to them and then it ruins their whole day.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't let that happen to me. No,
yeah.
I'm really positive. I'm one of the persons that just say, okay, this is
what's
something.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I got the sign that said, don't play the slot machine 8 because it's, you know, in your mind of 8 being good for you. You would instinctively go right to that.
8s and 7s, and I like the double diamonds, the slot double diamonds in them.
Right, so you go for that. But I'm just saying, you can do anything that you want to, but for some reason, in this situation, on this trip, 8s are off limits.
Okay, no 8s. I'll tell my husband that too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's good then. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, and please call me back and tell me how things are going and share with everybody how great a trip it was.
I will. When I come back.
Okay.
Okay, take care. Thank you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Welcome. Bye-bye. Oh, I hate that when it happens. Okay. All right. Just going to our next caller.
Yeah.
260. You're on the air. Yeah. You. Thank you. Welcome to the show. You're on the air. What's your name?
Nicole. I want to know what my future holds.
What does your future hold? When you say future holds, what's the one thing you really focus on at that moment? What's the one thing that stands in the forefront for you?
My job.
They're saying you should just stop focusing on the job and start focusing on yourself. When was the last time you actually took some really quality time for yourself? without any
interruption. I don't
know. Well, they're saying today is the day that you should start doing that. If not, in the next 5 minutes, it would definitely change a lot of things, and you'd actually see this job clearly for what it is. I keep getting it the stepping stone on what you really want to do.
Okay.
So it makes it easier to deal with because it's not a permanent thing. It's almost like you're scared death, you're going to be stuck there for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You're not. When I start to look at the situation, we're talking months, maybe two months, and I feel like an opportunity is going to come along that's going to give you the freedom you're looking for because you're wanting to walk away from this. I also keep getting walk away from other people, too. You're just tired of being connected to a lot of things, and you want to change.
Yeah, I'm thinking about childcare.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see that?
It's a debatable thing because you could put yourself in a situation where you're pulling your hair out.
Yeah.
Because you're not really patient with children. You like children. You like working with them. You like the potential what you could actually make for yourself. There is a way of doing this and really having patience with yourself. I think that's why they're pointing out the point of working with yourself and doing like chakra clearings and meditations that would actually put you in a position where you could actually do that kind of work and work with children. Because it seems like you're very open. You're very intuitive with them.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
But once you get that squared away, pretty much the rest of your life is pretty wide open. What do you want to do with it?
And,
go ahead.
Do you think college is worth wild?
Who are you talking to, sweetie?
No one.
It's amazing. She tells you everything, doesn't she? It's almost like you want to say hi, Mom.
No, she doesn't want to say hi.
Is college a good thing? I keep picking up no. There's something that you're destined to do that you've always done your whole life. So it's not really per se college. There's another way of pursuing that and acquiring what you need to do in that situation to put you in the position where you really want to be.
Yep.
Almost
I think
like a trade,
you're right.
It's almost like a trade school kind of thing. But you already, you know, it's like one of those things when you go to school and you do things, it's like you're finding out things that you already do.
Yeah.
You're very talented. Is that your mother?
What?
I said, is that your mother?
No.
Or is it just a friend who likes to be your mother?
Yeah. No. My mother hears you.
Okay.
Yep. Bye.
Okay, thank you very much. That was really cool, I think. I'm not sure. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Okay. Everybody who's in the queue right now, if you hang out, I'll get to you, I promise. And I'll stay here until we can answer every one of you guys' questions, all right? Area code 315, welcome to the show. How are you? There's nobody there. That's so sad. Area code 315. You are on the air. You are on the show. Welcome. And what is your name? We'll just come back and bounce down to them, okay? Okay, area code 708. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello.
Well, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. What's your name?
Good. Eileen.
Good Eileen. That's a nice name.
Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. I just want to stress to everybody, you know, I have a tendency to stick around, and tonight I don't have a midnight show because it's just one of those things where after having an accident the first part of this week, when you feel like taking a nap, you just got to go with it. So, And
okay.
I'm just saying, it's one of those things where, geez, I had a major accident on Monday where I actually was at the gym on a hyperextension bench, and the thing that was supporting my feet broke, and I slammed my face into the end of the floor. And
ooh.
I was on the way up, so I was already up in the air. The thing let loose, and I smashed into the bottom of the bench, hit the plywood that the platform was on, and then I hit the cement floor. No carpet. I think it's actually a godsend if you think about it. No carpet. But I slammed my face into the thing, so actually right now I had stitches in my face, and then I had a broken nose. I still have a broken nose, and I had a concussion. So it was like, man. So we're just trying to deal with the situation. Plus, see, I have a show tomorrow. I have a show tomorrow at noon called Free Angel Reading Roundtable Brunch, where everybody just comes to the show. The mics are all open, and we all sit down and talk about topics and that kind of stuff, and we do readings in the middle of the topics and that kind of stuff. So I welcome everybody should pop in on our Sunday brunch and just bring a topic. If you hate lawyers, let's talk about it. If you love lawyers, let's talk about it. We actually had some people come in the show a couple of nights ago who do love lawyers because they have money. So,
wow.
Different ways of looking at things.
Yes.
Oh, so you say your name was Eileen?
Eileen, yes.
And I guess you have a couple questions for us.
I sure do. I'm looking for a direction in my life, like millions of other people.
I was sitting there saying the other day.
I don't know what to do.
I guess if life was like this, if everybody had an arrow on their head pointing us in the right direction, do you think it'd make it easier for us?
No.
I didn't think so either.
No, and I think it would be boring.
In some sense,
it would take away from our journey.
Maybe so, but I think we all should think about this, guys. If Adam and Eve, in some sense of the word, wouldn't have done what they did, wouldn't we all be living that boring life that you guys talk about? But then, in the sense of the word, we wouldn't know that, would we? We would just be
we would be where we're
supposed to be at. That's the whole point. I told a friend of mine the other day, I said, everybody's saying, oh, so we want a perfect world, and that kind of be boring, wouldn't it? I said, no, it's the ideal, guys. What is interpretation of what perfect would be to you?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect to me would be the ideal job, the ideal career, the ideal wife, the ideal house. But, okay, don't take away how to get there. But I think if everybody listened to their intuition, everything would be so easily obtained.
Yes.
So if you sit here and look at this, if you really look at that whole thing and really put it in perspective, what were we supposed to be in the first place? Did Adam and Eve really get kicked out of the garden, or did they leave because they felt like they wasn't worthy, which put us on this freaking topsy-turvy path in the first place? The idea of saying, is everybody psychic? Was Adam psychic? Did Adam and Eve and God talk each other verbally, or was it mentally, telepathically? So maybe we're all psychic, we just haven't really put all of our energy into those things and realizing just how powerful and what we are, what we really are. If we did, the idea of having an arrow on someone's forehead, I mean, like when someone gets fired, instead of yelling and getting mad at that guy and these dumbasses going in there shooting people up, those are people who are not looking at the real deal of what the picture is, of saying, okay, this is coming to an end. To sit there and look at this is what I'm saying about people being very earthy, being very materialistic. And I hate to say that, but people look and go, well, those people go in there and shoot people. They're poor little people. No, I think that's what we call an imbalance, a person really focusing on materialistic because he's saying, you took my life away from me. If he's thinking his job is his life, then he has no confidence in himself.
Right.
And that's the whole point of pointing this out to this person and saying, if you had some foundation, or maybe you had all foundation, you would realize that money's not your foundation, your boss is not your foundation, your job is not your foundation, you are, and then realize the connections you have with God, which is one and the same, then nothing would really be a problem, now would it?
Right.
So I'm just saying with the situation, look at these realisms here, as people want to say, well, look at reality. What is reality? The Bible was written, in a way because it's for the individual, not for the masses.
Right.
Because everybody looks at it and interprets it in a different way. But I think it's also people are also on different paths too as well.
Mhm. I believe that.
I looked at the Bible and it said, read the story about Jesus. You can read about it. You can learn about manifestation. You can learn like life after death. You can also learn about psychics, and people freak out and go, psychics. I said, psychics, in a sense, the word are people who know who can see the path and who can see what they were meant to do, and they can see what other people are meant to do. Didn't Jesus do the same thing? He came here.
Yes.
He knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew exactly what was going to happen now. Because I told a friend of mine, I was like, look at the situation, guys. And one part, I don't think he was questioning it, what he had to do. I think he was looking for a different way because, okay, he's a spirit. He's God's son, but he's now in physical form. So he knows for a fact that when he goes to a certain part of this whole thing was already played out for him. He knew when he had to go through that, he knew it was going to hurt. I think I would be quite questioning it too, going, okay, God, is there a better way of doing this? Because, you know, getting smacked to an inch of my life, it sounds good in theory. You know, I'm going to get a lot of reactions from it. I'm going to get a lot of reactions from it where people are going to go and change their lives for the better. But is there another way we can get through to them besides me getting beat and say I'm physical now, this is going to hurt? you know, that kind of thing. So, but I told a friend of mine, I said, in the Bible it says, you have not because you ask not. So that's the first part of manifestation, is asking. The second part is basically letting universe, God, and that kind of do it. So Jesus was living his life. That's the whole thing. See, Jesus is living his life. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He never questioned it. He just did it spontaneously. And if we could do the same thing, Jesus didn't have a boring life, did he? It was still events, and there were still things going on, that kind of stuff. But still, he was a perfect being. He tried to live the best he could. He didn't want to hurt anybody. He wanted to help everybody. And that's service. So therefore, what is everybody destined to do? It's service. Many people do different ways of giving service, but it's all down to the service part. So I said, look at that. It's manifestation, isn't it? He died, and then on the other side of the whole thing, he was reborn. And when we're trying to manifest things in our life, aren't we trying to change the old into the new? So that's a manifestation story too in itself. So you can learn so much just in that one section, but people sit here and go over the whole thing. Jesus died on the cross and he raised from the dead. You're, okay, we got that. Like you can learn so much stuff from that one section that half of you guys are not even tapping on it. All you're doing is looking for a reaction. And what I'm looking for is love. Because that's all Jesus had for the human race. Nothing but love and compassion and caring. I look at preachers and that kind of stuff, and I think sometimes I lose my track of my thought and going, am I in aerobic class? And, okay. And people are like, what's wrong? I'm sitting there going, because Jesus came and he told the truth. He spoke the truth. That was powerful enough. To sit there and jump across a freaking stage and smack everybody else, have blaring speakers and that kind of stuff. Not saying I haven't gone to like Joe Osteen's church. It's a big church, but you don't have a lot of crazy high rollers or holy rollers. What you have is people who are sitting there looking at life, living life, because Jesus was like this. Oh, the masses need to be fed. Did he question it? No, he just went right into it and fed people, got them bread and fish, bread and fish, bread and fish. Are we done? Yeah, okay, cool. And then we did the whole freaking thing. And if we would live our lives just like that and manifest things like that, we could do it just like he did. Because he even says in that section of the Bible, you will do greater works than I will. Just learn from what I've done and then take it one step further. Have faith in oneself. Love yourself. Love your neighbors. In the process of loving everybody and loving yourself, then these things happen. Love will do everything. Love is the greatest commandment. Why is it the greatest commandment? Because that energy itself will attract everything to you that you need. To say you can't live on love, you better smack yourself. We have 90 seconds left on the show. I just want to thank everybody for being here. I want to thank everybody for donating the show. Only one person did, so you guys all should feel bad about it. I'm just kidding. But I'm sitting here saying the ideal, because if you go to my website, you'll see one phrase that came to me while I was writing it. The angels came to me and said, give love where love is given. What that means is I'm giving 100% of myself, so therefore, do you appreciate that? If you don't, we all understand that. If you do, it's just one. That's what we're asking. That's one of the ideal donations and keeping the show going. Because realistically, people have no problem giving money to churches. And I think we're all doing the same thing. And I'm just saying, you know, it's like a hand. It's like a give me a hand. If you want to applaud, that's cool. But everybody who's in the queue, stay right where you are. I will get to you. I just want to thank everybody for being here. Thank all the people out there listening. Thank you guys all in the chat room for all your interesting conversations. And
thank you.
Thank you for everybody and the whole thing. And I want to get back with my guest I have right now I'm talking to and the rest of these people. I'm going to get you guys to and answer every one of your questions. So just stay right where you're at. And like I always say before we cut, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. Give love where love is given, and you will always be loved. So with your situation, you said you have some questions, and the idea we went to Vegas. Is that right? We're talking about Vegas stories here? And no.
No.
I've had so many people in the night. Okay, ask your question. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was wondering about my career. I mean, you went into this, and I guess I'm kind of torn because I started doing tailoring. But
right.
my real, and I love it because I get to fix things and it's rewarding. But I grew up psychic.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what they would categorize me as psychic medium.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I put it aside, I get stopped in my tracks.
I don't feel bad, sweetie. When I was doing this work, I actually ran away from the carnival. Like the last 2 years, I ran away from the carnival in the summertime to take a break, mm-hmm. to get away. And every time I go anywhere, I end up doing readings. This last year, I was the first year I was doing readings for the people I was working with. They thought it was kind of crazy until you actually start doing it. And they're like, ooh, you're real. Yes. And then I went into a restaurant. It was like a little cafe on the fairgrounds. And this was a funny place. So I walk in and I start talking. I was in there and this one guy, he's one of those guys that likes to point things out to embarrass people, okay? And he walks in and he looks at I was talking to this girl, one of the waitresses there. He looked right at me and said, he's a psychic. He reads palms. And she goes, you really do? I said, yeah, just bring a tree and I'll read it for you. And she was like, she's like, what? I said, yeah, I can read the leaves. It's really cool. And he's like, no, he's really a palm reader. And she goes, are you a palm reader? I said, yes, I am. She goes, I don't believe you. I was like, I don't care. I just don't care.
Yeah.
I said, give me your palm. I guarantee you will be. And she gave me her palm. See, I'm a palm reader, but I'm also an empath. And I use both together. So I just don't pick up lines. I just don't read the lines on people's hands. I also can pick up, you know, those lines give me impressions of things that they did in their lives. It also gives me the emotions and everything that goes along with it. I don't know if people do that or not, but I do it. And it's really intense. And so I did the palm reading for her. I did palm reading for her, Chelsea. And then the next day I came in, well, she had her friend sitting there. She goes, my friend wants to get her palm read too, Brittany. And I said, okay, no problem. And I said, you guys know I get paid for this. They go, you do? I guess you didn't. I said, no problem. I said, I took a break anyway. So sure, so I read her palm. And next thing I know, she's crying. And she's like, and everybody's like, you are so real about this whole thing. And it's so cool. I'm like, okay, thank you, but okay. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. gotcha. But it was so intense because every time I'd walk in there, these girls would be sitting there because we had a couple of shifts on different ones. And I walk in,
right.
And the girls would just stare at you. I'm sitting there going, I looked at this. I remember walking in, there's one girl staring at me. I'm sitting there going, let me, I said, let me guess. Do you want a palm reading? And she goes, yeah, can you? And I'm like, the biggest problem I thought was going to be was when the owner came in and she was sitting there looking at me and she had those eyes like a mother does when you bring your daughter mm-hmm. back late. You know, late for a date. And I looked at her,
yeah.
And I was like, oh, man. She looked, she came and she goes, I heard you're a palm reader. I said, and she was so serious. I said, yeah. Or should I tell her that? I'm not sure. And she's like, I'm very skeptical. And she goes, I think you're just kind of like, I don't really believe you. I said, okay, what you're wanting? So you want a palm reading too? So she goes, yeah. So I gave her one. Another person started crying. I'm like, there's something to this thing. I don't know what it is. Crying. And mm-hmm. it was pretty cool because I actually got for the rest of the week I got all the food for free and stuff, but but it was like I sit there and it's like every time I turn around I would go anywhere I do something. I mean I remember couple of times being working for the carnival, just standing in the midway, and someone just walk up and say, I heard about you. Okay, is that a good thing? I heard about you.
Yeah.
So we would do those kind of things. But you're right. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. Every time I walk away from it, I always end up going back to it. So that's a sign that you should definitely be doing a lot of work and perfecting that, because that's a very powerful gift. And for some reason with you, I keep getting Pintos, like Pinto cars. I don't know why.
What is that?
I don't know. Something connected with you. Pintos. Like, it was like something with your youth.
Pintos?
Yeah. Either you was connected to a friend who had a Pinto car. I keep seeing a Pinto wagon, station wagon.
Oh, geez. I don't know.
If it's something you really don't know about, Doreen Virtue used to talk, he had a story in her book that she talked about her parents, that her dad would take things and he would manifest them. And back in those days, you know, the visualization of magazines and that kind of stuff wasn't, but people would use, like, her father used to, he wanted a Pinto. And what he did was he found him a little car Pinto, so he focused on that. She goes, I don't know why he was focusing on a Pinto, but he wanted a Pinto. And he got one in about a month, I think it was. So maybe it's something about, maybe that's more of the metaphor of pointing out things to me, that you're really good at manifesting things too as well.
I've had my moments. I think my biggest problem, if I want to dissect myself right now, is discipline.
Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. It's kind of sporadic. It keeps going in and out.
Oh.
Drives me nuts.
But
no,
I've seen.
They say you need to. It's like, look at the situation that when you do manifest things, and try to repeat that. And the thing that came to me the most was a time when I was sitting at bus stops, and I would sit there and go, God, I don't want to sit here anymore. So could you just have somebody come by and pick me up, maybe a friend or something I haven't seen in a month or so, and take me home? I said, and I was really honest too. I said, it might sound lazy, but I just want to go home. And 5 minutes later, someone would pull up. And when I looked at the situation, I said, okay, what did I do to get that to happen so quickly? And the only thing I could really put it down to was releasement. I detached from it. I would go, okay, God, that's what I want. And I would go right from there into waiting for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen. It already has happened. I wouldn't think about it. I wouldn't think in any kind of sense of the word, like, is it going to happen? Or will it happen? Or am I ever going to have this? It was just like, here, my ride should be here any minute. And next thing I would pull up. And that one particular time was a girl I hadn't seen in a month. And she just pulls up and she goes, hey, you need a ride? I'm like, this is really funny. It's kind of funny how this happens all the time. And she goes, what's that? I said, That's a long story. But the thing in those situations was letting it go.
Right.
You know, just ask, let the universe do what it's got to do. And the quicker you let go of it, the quicker they can do that. And that's what I found out. And it seemed like it's all pointed towards you.
Are you getting a feeling that my spiritual path is the one I should be on? I thought of going back into the workforce.
But every time you go back in the workforce,
pardon me?
It's every time you go into the workforce, that is a hard situation for you because it takes a lot out of you. But when you do readings or listening to people and passing on messages, we'll put it that way, that seems to be a situation where you feel the most comfortable.
Yes, I love helping people. That's all I want to do with it. I would just want to serve and help people. I have never given a reading to somebody for money.
Mm-hmm.
And only my family and very close few friends even know about it. And I was told by other psychic people that I can never see for myself.
Well,
is
stop
that,
listening to those people. I'm tired of hearing that. See, I think this way.
Yeah.
I'm tired of hearing people say they can't read for themselves, because the reason we have, if you want to, when we put the name intuition on it, if you put intuition on it, then everybody goes, okay, that means that's for us. Our intuition is telling me to do this and any other. Psychic ability is the same thing. It's the idea of getting to a point in one's life, a reading for oneself. And then some people take it further and one step further to help other people to do the same. But to sit here and say your psychics can't read themselves, I've been working on this for so long and realizing that when I go to other psychics and ask questions, I'm just getting confirmation that something I already picked up. And the more I listen to them to help me listen to myself, the more we can read ourselves. Because I just feel like you have to watch certain psychics who say, you can't read yourself because you need to come to me. I need clients.
Well, some of them said, why are you here?
That's a good thing.
I guess
that's a good
because
thing, yeah.
I needed confirmation. And they're like, yeah, you already know.
Exactly. I've had people look
and
at
they,
me and go, you closed off for me. What'd you do that for? I'm like, because you are just, not good. So there is duality and everything on this plane. That's just the way it is. There's good psychics, bad psychics. There's good doctors, bad doctors. More I think, bad than good. But that's just my opinion. Same thing with lawyers and shoot them all. But perception's everything too, right?
It sure is. And can I ask you about my finances? Is it that bad?
No, it's like someone's asking you a question. I want them to call. Why don't you just try calling in, and we'll talk about it, because she's asking a question that would just, I am not, I mean, to be honest with you, I am not a typer. Oh, no.
No?
No. This drives me crazy, because my freaking thing just, really. Okay. Why did my freaking switchboard just go blank? Okay, sucks, you know. This really makes me mad, because it shouldn't have done that. What's your situation? And because we were talking about your abilities and that kind of stuff, and you really should focus on that whole thing too.
Okay.
Well, I try to talk to people. I tell people a lot of times the reason they're having financial problems is because they're not really focusing on the one thing they need to focus on is themselves, to attract those things to them that will make those situations easier, which is usually being in the right career, the right job, the right place, the right situations, and quit going after out there and going, I'm working an 8-hour week, you know, what's happening? Well, then you should go out there and focus on attracting and manifesting a 40-hour job, or maybe you should take it one step further, because every person I've ever seen who really goes from working for somebody and then starts working for themselves, they always seem to find the solutions to get themselves in a good standing in their finances. And if they're not, sometimes there's things in their environment that's working against them, where the people are actually realistically going, you shouldn't be doing this, and they will fight them. Or they will do things. They'll put something. They'll put obstacles and all kinds of good stuff. I mean, I sit there and was telling my mom, and she's like, you know, you're not really making a good living at this. But see, we have to look at people's perceptions, too. A good living to her is making a certain amount a year. But realistically, success in one's life is usually their perception of what that means, which can mean many, many things. But when you have someone else who comes in the mix and looks at you and says, well, I think she should be doing this. And I said, well, I think you should be focusing on your own life and shutting up. Because I'm not going to, you know, because what you're doing is your perception is different than mine. So do
you're
even,
right.
Because, you know, when you're psychic and you're focusing on people, what you're doing right at that moment is you are a part of their life, and you're looking inside to help them with the situation they're in, to take a clearer look at their path. Okay,
right.
But you're not, but at the same time, I make suggestions. I'm saying if you stay on this path and you basically follow through and honor your feelings, that's why I always talk about psychic abilities. If you honor your feelings and you honor your sensitivity and always listen to your intuition and your guides and your angels, then this transition will be smoothly. But if you don't listen to yourself, then you're going to have all kinds of problems, which means it's okay to listen to advice, but when you're done, you have to make the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you're honest with yourself and say, okay, you can take everybody's opinions and put them together and come up with a nice assessment of the situation, but you're always going to have people who come in and go, well, I gave you some advice, why didn't you listen to it?
Right.
And you're going, well, you didn't listen to it because your life sucks. So why should I? So that's why I look at it. Because every time I tell people it's good to listen to advice, as long as that person's life reflects what they're telling you. But if you've got a woman to come, I've seen this with women, and I'm talking about the one that I've dealt with, because I had a guy today, I was working on this one company I worked for called Orum, or ORANUM.com. It's actually a company, it's an international company where you can do readings, video, and through Skype and that kind of stuff.
Oh.
Well, some guy came in the room, and he was sitting there saying, all Americans are stupid. And I said, you know something, I will sit there and say, the women that I've worked with, I can honestly say the women I've worked with have been difficult, and some can be considered stupid in some of the things they did. But I can't sit here and say all women are stupid, because I don't know everyone of those women. So that's
right.
Just really. So I asked the guy the question today: how can you sit here and say all Americans are stupid unless you've actually physically met each and every one of them? You can't honestly make that statement. So therefore, let's look at who's really. I always look at the situation. And go, okay. Let's really look at the situation and go, and ask yourself, who is really stupid here? Is it the people he's
right.
saying are stupid, or is it the one who's actually speaking out of his mouth? And I've always said it's best to be thought a fool than open your mouth and raise all doubt.
Very true.
So, to be true to oneself is the idea of honoring you. When they start talking about honoring yourself and honoring your feelings, the more you do that, the more you're going to do it for somebody else. So I look at people and go, okay, you're being stupid. But I also am compassionate enough to go, let's find out why you're doing that. Because, you know, you're reflecting stupid to me. So let's see if we can reflect to you of why. And maybe you'll look at the situation. You'll go inside and realize, okay, that was kind of stupid to do that. Which is basically, when I say stupid or insane, is a person who keeps doing the same thing over and over and over again, but expecting
right.
a different outcome. And you're sitting there going, if you're going to use crayons on paper every time, you're always going to have a mess. Okay?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how hard you push the crayons. It doesn't matter how light you push the crayons. The crayons are still touching the paper, and you're going to have a mess. So people are going to go, but why? Okay, this is another thing I tell people. I'm going, okay, let's look at the paper and the crayon as a relationship, okay? The paper is the man, and the crayon is the woman. Okay, she's rubbing the guy the wrong way. But does that really mean that she's the problem? She's always going to be a crayon. She always has been. The paper knew that. So why would it let it? Why would the paper do that? Why would the paper go, okay, do it? Because
right.
it just, you know, because you look at the situation, it just is what it is. But in the situation, looking at it, going, okay, do you want to be there? If you don't want to be there, it's as simple as that. Stop and go find a piece of paper. But I've had so many people come on the show that said, okay, is this going to work out? No. Okay, how does he feel? I've actually got to the point now where I look at him going, who cares? If a situation is playing itself out where it's not going to work out, the reflection is, since he's focusing on nothing but himself and you're not, it's basically reflecting back to you that you need to focus on yourself as well. Because you're giving, people are trained to do this too, to give up oneself to somebody else. When that's not what it means. It means the idea of focusing on having a great relationship. We talked about it before. If you have balance between the physical and the spiritual, that's where it starts. And then you can actually go out. And if you do that, then you'll probably actually attract a relationship that does the exact same thing, where you can both focus on the spiritual and the physical, but balance them out. And then you can have that. Because see, if you have too much sex compared to the loving part, then it's off balance. And vice versa on the same other part too. If you're focusing on too much on spirituality, but you're not focusing on the physical, which a lot of women will sit there and go, well, I'm not going to give you any sex because you've been this way. Those things are never meant to be punished. It's the idea of looking at the situations and the solutions. Okay, why did he do that to you?
Mm-hmm.
If, a lot of times they'll punish him because they're going to look at the reflection and realize at that moment the reason he did that is because she allowed him to. And then she's got to look at herself. So a lot of things in these situations when you don't have the balance going into them, people are looking for balance in each other. And then that's when they start really knowing each other, going, okay, this was a mistake. Yeah, it was, because the foundation, you didn't have any foundation.
Yeah.
You never balanced the two out before you got there. And that's why I always tell people, you will get what you want, but are you ready for it? Because it determines the success of what's going to happen when you do get together. Even if it's meant to happen, we'd all rather have these relationships go smoothly than it be difficult. Because people banging their heads going, well, I thought this was supposed to be the one. Maybe it was, but if you wasn't ready for it, you need to sit here and look at those situations. I mean, the lady I was talking to this morning, I mean, I was trying to give her the tools where, yeah, there's someone coming in, but doing the work and doing the cleansings and the clearings to open up to the, because I always sit here and say, it's like chakras and auras are like an antenna on a radio. If it's working properly, the messages are always coming clearly. And you know exactly what you want to do. Like when you hit a station, oh, I don't want this one. You go to another one. And you fine-tune it until you get the right one, which comes through very clearly. Well, when you do the chakras and your auras, it's almost the same process, you know, as getting through the whole thing and balancing and that kind of stuff and realizing how much you really got to do to get where you got to be at to hear what's going coming through. So you got to go through too many phases and that kind of stuff. But I guarantee you, once you find yourself, then you know who you're supposed to be with.
Right.
Because like attracts like.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not like, because I tell people, this guy comes in, he's like, and it's like, I've heard this so many times, but a guy comes in and they're going, okay, I'm asking all kinds of questions. I said, the first thing I see and the first thing I hear is the idea of why are you asking questions? If it is what it is, and this is supposed to be, you know, this is the one that's for you, then you should know that. You don't have to go to anybody to figure it out. And people go, well, sometimes you can't. No. That's an excuse for you to use because instead of admitting that you've made the wrong decision or this is not the path for you or the person that you should be with, some people don't want to go there just yet. So they make excuses by saying, well, maybe there's something this or maybe that. Or people look at the situation, how does he feel? See, they just took it. They just took the power and they're still giving it to him by asking,
right,
how does he feel? They're not giving it to themselves. They're not even thinking about what I want. But as long as he wants what I want, then I'll sit there and say, yeah, that's what I want too. And it doesn't work that way. The decision that you, what you want becomes before you get with that person. That tells you exactly, you know, is this the one? Hell no. You know?
Yes.
And we've heard this
I
before
understand.
Too. But well, I'm just saying, I've heard so many people sit there and go, I'm doing a reading for them. They go, that is so true. Okay, then why are you there? I just told you this, that, and the other. You know this is the truth. And you're like, well, he might wake up tomorrow and be different. Okay.
Mm. Right.
That's like reaching into a basket and you want an orange and then you pull out a banana. That's okay. But you really want an orange.
It's so true.
I was like, okay,
it's
what's
great.
Up? Where the hell are the oranges?
It's great.
So you see, you look at the situation in your life and what you need to do with your life. It's, and when you sit there and listen to that realistically, it's so clear of what you need to do with your own life.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the idea you have to honor who you are and what you do and that kind of stuff. And the ideals of, I always tell people, when you start stepping out and taking risk, what you find out later on is the risks that you've been taking were always the answers.
Yes.
See?
Yes, kind of I found this to be true.
Whoa. So you're not taking risk anymore. You just now know what the answers are, and you're following through with them spontaneously, like you were supposed to do in the first place. It just took, as we call it, the first two risks to realize that, whoa, this was always the answer. Yes, it was. What took you so long? Some people are scared to death of having those perfect lives because they're like, it'd be boring. I welcome the boring compared to what's been going on lately.
Yes.
Smooth. Because I was trying to tell people I was living very close to the spiritual lifestyle. I was living in Colorado. Were there certain things that happened from time to time? Yes, of course there was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you live on this, when you sit here and talk about balance between physical and the spiritual, That's, and you talk about the two.
Yes.
So it's almost like a challenge to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Of doing the same thing, everything else in the same way in your life, of realizing what it is. I mean, I think the most powerful message I ever heard was a lady who got raped, beat up, and left for dead in a house. And when she came after the physical therapy and stuff, and people asked her about the situation, and she kind of like said, well, what happened was my fault. I take 100% responsibility for what happened to me. Not the idea of the guy, what he did to me. I'm not taking responsibility for what he did. It's his problem. That's his responsibility. I take accountability for that. But mine was just that. I went into a situation that my angels and guides were trying to tell me not to go into in the first place. And if I would have listened, it would never have happened. So see, the idea of taking 100% compatibility, taking 100% responsibility for your life.
Yes.
It's a hard thing to do. But once you do that, that's when things really become easy, because you're not making excuses anymore. You're not.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing things for what they are. So when that lady did that, I could hear people when we were talking about on the air. They were all sitting. You could hear them gasping. What? You know, she's taking the blame for that. That guy did this to her. Well, he couldn't have done it if she wouldn't have made a decision to be there. And it was one of those situations.
Right.
She was a realtor. This
mm-hmm.
guy called her up and talked her into meeting him at his house. And she said that she put money first. She put money before her safety. And she said even when she was walking up the sidewalk to go in the house, her angels and guides never gave up on her.
Mm-hmm.
But when she's, and people look and say, well, did she have to go through that to learn that lesson? In her life, she did. Now, we can't sit there and we can't question these things. We got to look at them for what they are. This is a hard-headed woman. She'll probably even admit it and tell you the same thing, too. So sometimes it takes drastic measures for people to get the point, to realize
yes.
what's going on. So it's like, what's your situation? We'll make a choice and choose this career. I mean, what am I looking at? You're looking at a journey of unfoldment, I guess you'd call it, where things are going to start unfolding for you that you understand why. But you never understand these whys until you're actually living them. It's like manifestations. If you really realistically look at manifestations, you really don't notice them until you're living them. So that's the whole idea. That's what they always say, ask. Okay? Ask and you shall
receive. Ask and you shall receive.
Yeah, but see, in the process of receiving, you also have to learn one thing. Well, after you've asked it, you have to live your life. Because if you stop living and stop right that moment, you've stopped everything. So to get to the point where the manifestation is going to happen, you stop that whole thing. But once you start living again, your life starts moving forward, which takes you closer to your manifestation, which you find out later on you're living it and you're loving it. And you're just like, this is so great. Fantastic. But I've done it before my job. I look back and go, wow, you know. And there was some times where I think it might be different in some situations of certain psychics. I saw things come. I mean, as soon as things started happening, I knew where it was going.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have to walk in faith to get to that point, too. You know, and I knew for a fact from past experiences that when I listened and followed through spontaneously, it always took me somewhere that was really good for me. But it definitely took me out of the situation I was in to a better place. So listening. But we also have a tendency where we get arrogant and walk away from the path and go, I can do it myself. That's when we get ourselves in trouble. Or we listen to another freaking human being who says, what you need to do is go rob a bank. And then, you ever hear people say certain things and then they won't have something to get themselves in trouble. I mean,
right.
a person who steals doesn't steal because he wants to do something mean to you. He steals because he's scared he's not going to have it. So therefore, he kind of jumps the middleman and just takes it.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who commits adultery doesn't commit adultery because he wants to hurt anybody. He's scared that he won't find anybody who's single. So if someone presented themselves, it was a temptation, and he followed through with it. I think it's one thing we have to understand. When people do things, realistically, they're not doing anything to us. They're just being who they are, and they're acting that part out. Maybe it's violently, maybe not. That's exactly what they're doing. They're looking at the situation.
Yeah, we can't take it personal.
Yeah, because people sitting there going, this guy raped me. Yeah, but what did you do to get there? Well, I was a kid when it happened. I sit here and talked to some lady before, too, who said that when she was 7 years old, her intuition, her angels were talking to her, And most people, you know, when you talk to people all the time, maybe they don't realize what that voice is, but it was talking to them, and they didn't listen. And she said that she was going to this friend's house, and she said that the voices were telling her to go home and don't go there. But she wanted to go anyway, her curiosity and that kind of stuff. She went there, and something happened to her where she was molested. But she said at 7 years old, she knew what was going to happen before she got there, but she still went too. It's just one of those things we have to watch out for too. So, you know, in the situation of, oh, I've seen a situation where a lady was scared to death her house was going to burn down. And the situation played out just like that. It was a faulty wiring. But see, the point was her house still burned down. And that's all she thought about. And it manifested just like that. And I tell people all the time, you think it might feel crazy, and these things happen the way they do. But why'd they happen then? And why did it happen to that person who was actually thinking about that, who had very positive thoughts or negative thoughts, whichever you want to look at, and doing that? Because I've been in situations, too, where I walk in someplace and I go, hey, I said this street should have two buttons for the street sign. It only has one. And then a couple of days later, I went back down there, and they had two. And the guy goes, well, what happened there was, The city came out and put another one up there. I said, I understand that process, but why did they do that after I said what I said? Why then? It could have been 6 months earlier or 6 months later. Why at that time? Which benefited me. That's the point. Look, you know, because I've had people come to me do readings, and I'll tell them something. They go, well, that can sound like 10 other people. I said, yeah, but we're not talking about 10 other people. We're talking about you.
Right.
It's taken many years to get to that point, to be that bold. But I've also noticed that by being that bold, that's the truth. That's the information that's coming through. And just getting to the point of being that confident. But the confidence that it gave me to do that is also giving the person the confidence across the table who's hearing it to do the same thing that I did, which is the idea of listening and following through.
Mm-hmm.
So you see how the idea of being passionate and loving what you do resonates with other people? It motivates them to do the same you did too. Tim, I'm like,
very true.
Whole thing got stuck. I don't believe this. This whole thing, the switchboard it was like 7 or 8 people on that sucker. And now there's.
Well, that's because you're supposed to talk to me.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. No, everything happens for a reason.
I took out your switchboard.
Oh, is that what it was? Well, okay. Well, that was a nice. I guess that was a nice gesture. What did you say your first name?
Eileen.
I'm sorry, sweetie, but it was Stella was the one I was talking to before who gave the donation to the show, and I was just telling everybody, it's like, you didn't give no donations to the show, you should be bad, feel bad about yourself. But then again, if you want to feel good about yourself, just donate the money now. But
yes.
I was telling everybody, I said, it's kind of hard to do that, but sometimes you got to say, okay, I have some bills that need to be paid by Wednesday. So the idea of asking for it, if you want to help, fine. If you don't, No one's gonna even know. So don't take it personal. Don't beat yourself up. If you are beating yourself up, just correct the situation and donate that money. Because I tell everybody, you can donate $12. That will get you a 5-card angel reading. Or you can donate $99, which will give you 11 60-minute sessions, which gives you a lot of freedom. But at the same time, I always tell people, if you want to take advantage of the donations, donate whatever. Whatever you feel comfortable with. And if you feel like you want to get a reading or something because of the donation you gave, then just call me. I've never sat there and said no to anybody. I did a reading one time for $6. I did a reading for a pizza. Some lady on a phone, she didn't want to use her credit card per se. Like, I used to take people's credit card numbers and once people freak out, they say, are you leaning with those things? I said, no, I don't do anything with these things. I keep them on record, so if you come back and want to use the same card, then I'll just run that again. But some people were like, no, I can't do that. And I was like, okay, no problem. What do you feel comfortable doing? Well, why don't I just, you know, can I just call a pizza place and have the equivalent sent to your house? Well, yeah, sure you can. You know, whatever you feel comfortable with. I mean, I had people sending me pizzas. One lady actually called Subway and had it, and then paid for a sub. And all I had to do is show up and tell them what I wanted. I thought that was kind of cool. I had some
That's
lady.
Very cool.
Yeah, I had some lady call me up, and she said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "Okay, why don't you pay my phone bill?" And she goes, "Okay, no problem." So she paid my phone bill. I gave her like 2 or 3 readings. So I was like, "This is getting kind of cool." Well, I said, "Just as long as you don't send me any chickens, okay? And if you're gonna send me some chicken, make sure it's like something we get at Kroger's or something. Where it's already in a little bag, right? You know, if you're gonna send me chicken, send me a turkey first." But I'm just a person who's very open about the situation, so I do get irritated with sometimes. I'll tell everybody. I mean, I will tell you flat out with the situation of doing this kind of work. There's some people that it seems like I want to sit there and I guess I want to be around with them all the time because they have money falling in their lap. But I was telling a friend of mine, I said, donate some money to the show. I want 4 people this weekend to donate $99 to this show. Okay, I want to go back to Colorado so badly. I mean, I told someone one day, I said, if Charles Manson showed up at my freaking door, so I'm going to Colorado. You want to go? I'd be gone so fast.
Yes.
I'd be, let's go. So
I just moved back in June from Arizona, and I wanted to go to Colorado. Never been there. Feel very drawn to it. When I moved to Arizona, I had never even visited it. I went online, picked out the suburb I wanted to live in, booked my flight, sold everything, and left. And I only came back to Illinois because my daughter's here.
Mm-hmm. How's that working out for you?
Not too well. She's very busy, and I miss the sun. But I would love to go to Colorado. You want to go?
I'm out of here. So,
No,
I'm just saying, you know, I always tell people, if you're going to Colorado, please don't stop. Please stop and don't forget to pick me up. Even if you're going to tell me you're... I'm in Ohio.
Where are you at? Oh, are you?
Mm-hmm.
So you've had your equivalent of snow like I have.
Oh, yeah, after the third time it snowed, I was done. Didn't want to deal with it anymore. And then we got snow. What was it, like a couple of weeks? Well, like it was last week or something. We got snow. I woke up and I'm like, why is it white outside? I'm hoping it's outside. There's something wrong with my eyes or something. And I was trying to look down and go, it was just like, what was it? I think 3 days before that, it was like almost 60 degrees. I'm like, gosh, can't we get rid of this crap?
Well, what I'm going to do for you is I have something of value, and it's not money yet. I plan on selling it, and I will send you a donation.
Okay.
Okay.
So how long you... When shall we expect this?
Very soon. I'm going to see if I can make this transaction tomorrow.
Wow.
And then this number that you gave out is where I should call you?
Oh, the 7407, was it?
Yes.
I keep freaking out. It's 740-601-9... Okay,
8-3-5.
Hold up. 9-8-3-5. Because I'm looking at my show number, which is 9031. I'm like, come on, messing me up here.
This is your number to get a hold of you.
Yeah, the 740 number is it's mine. It's my Skype number. If
your
you know
Skype.
Skype. Yeah, Skype usually has names, but you can actually get a number. It cost me $12 every 3 months.
Really?
And Skype cost me about $3 to have unlimited calling in the United States and Canada. It's about $3.
Oh, wow.
Mhm.
That's a great deal.
And right now I'm doing everything through my computer, my laptop. And what I was telling everybody was I'm trying to come up with all this money so I can pay my laptop by Wednesday. And I need to get my phone. A friend of mine was telling me about Straight Talk. She said that with Straight Talk, you can get a phone and you get a plan for like $45 a month and have unlimited everything. And right now I'm paying almost $70 just to have unlimited calling. I have no texting, no computer, no nothing. It's just for calling. It's almost $70. So I was
I borrowed a laptop. My computer's in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling you how every time I try to start working, like
mm-hmm.
my alterations and tailoring, I shipped my sewing machines back from Arizona here, and the post office delivered them smashed in pieces. And I thought, okay, since I landed in June, it has just been an uphill battle. What is this telling me?
Well, see, sweetie, when I was in Colorado the first time, I mean, there was some things, but I look back on that whole experience. I mean, I was staying with a family that was living in a $300,000 home. I lived there. I actually had a room there to myself. And then they bought this house for $500,000 house, which he called it a $500,000 home, which is true. It's a $500,000 home. And I basically was watching her kids in that house too, and babysitting and cleaning the house and that kind of stuff. But I actually had her son, he was like, I think he was 12. His room was he had double doors on his bedroom. He had his own bathroom. He had a walk-in closet, and he had one of those big sinks. He had a double sink with mirrors, and that was his bedroom. Sliding glass door, the whole bed. I mean, he had everything in that freaking room. He had a big family room. They had two fireplaces, one upstairs and one downstairs. The one upstairs was a real fireplace where you actually burnt wood in it, and the one downstairs was electric fireplace, which when that thing was on, the heat would just run you out of there.
Right.
So the house was very well insulated. And then the whole situation was like it was just a beautiful home. I mean, all the kids had she had four kids. They all basically had their own bedroom, their own little thing going on. Is there any chance I get your phone number?
Yes, absolutely. It's area code 708.
708.
712-712-4214.
Okay, so that's 4214.
Yes.
Okay. And it's Eileen?
Yes.
And because I have no idea. Okay, I lived there. And then later on, I was telling everybody about the ideal of getting, when I got my first shop, was the ideal of basically with this woman I was living with. I had an affair with her briefly.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those things where you get caught up in the situation, and I didn't know what else to do with it. So something happened here and there and that kind of stuff. I was constantly pushing the situation, and it was just trying to figure the whole thing out, and then trying to figure out later on why I let myself go that way. But there was a lot of other things that came into play afterwards too. But there was all good things. Because I went from being on the streets, I was working for a hotel, because I refused to let this woman control my life. So I got back to listening again. And my angels started pointing me in the direction. As soon as I started listening, they were just like, okay, do this, this, and this, and this. And every time I would do those things, they always panned out. And when I was in Colorado, it got to the point where it was so freaking easy. I mean, I would walk in. I had a light where you walk in and it actually had a piece of cable, I mean, what do you call it? Speaker wire hanging down from it to turn it on. It was in my kitchen. And I walk in one day, and I had a friend with me. I reached up, and she freaked out because I didn't reach for the lights for that. I didn't reach for that cable. It came to me, and she was like, "That's creepy." I said, "No, it's just more convenient." I just walk up.
Yeah.
I reach my hand up and grab, and it comes to me. I said, "All it is it's basically energy and realize and just knowing how to use it." And
right.
And it was just all this, and then. Every time I would do something, I always got it. I started writing down, like, I wanted a cottage. I wanted a two-bedroom cottage. And I think about it after having my shop, I think it was maybe a month later, I got this opportunity to do just that. It was a two-bedroom cottage. It was closer to the mountain. Yeah, it was closer to the mountains. And every day I would actually go out, when I was riding the bus, I would ask for a ride on the bus. Or if I didn't want to ride on the bus, I would sit ask for a ride to go home, and I always seemed to, and it's like I remember always getting those things. I always knew when the bus was coming, and when I didn't listen, I'd always get ticked off. I remember this one time a lady came to my shop, and she's like, she was asking me questions, and I'm sitting there going, "Did you say you're going to catch the bus?" She goes, "Yes." I said, "You need to leave right now. You need to get out of here and go." And she's like, "Are you mad at me?" I said, "No, the bus is going to be coming. You need to leave now." So she turned around just as she saw the bus coming around. I'm sitting there going, "Run, you can still make it." So she took out of there like a bat out of hell. And I think later she came. I talked to her the next day, and she goes, I said, "Did you make it?" And she goes, "If I would have left when you said it, to leave right that minute," she goes, "I would have missed it."
Really?
So I said, I got that first shop, and it just seemed like there were so many things happening that I had more success in Colorado than I've ever had anywhere else. So I tell everybody, that's why I got the Colorado Fund, where it basically says, "Help me get home, help me support the show, donate, you know, whatever." And I'm sitting there going,
right.
I did a reading with my friend, she's a channeler. And she said that we did this thing, and she said the angels are saying that you need to get really creative and go back to Colorado. I'm like, okay. So I was on my website. I really stressed everybody to go look at my website, because I've had so many compliments on it who said, "Wow, how much did that cost you, and who did it?" And I said, honestly, there's more blood, sweat, and tears into that thing than there is money. Because to this day, I've had friends and people who've contributed to it, either edited or whatever, and that kind of stuff. I've done a lot of work on it myself with the graphics and stuff, and that's how it's all got done. It's a free website, and I keep finding ways to keep it that way. And I think it's just opportunities. Because I was sitting there telling my friend, I said, when I got my first apartment in Colorado, in Manitou Springs. Have you ever been to Sedona, Arizona?
Yeah, several times.
Manitou Springs, Colorado, is like those places before commercialism hit it.
Really?
It's old. It's, you know, you still have the glass blowing, and they got this wonderful guy, people down there who do the glass blowing. They have this thing, it's called Cinderella's carriage and stuff, all done in blown glass. Oh, man, that guy.
Oh, wow.
And he actually had a piece of citrate, something like that, where he has a piece of it. And then he has a glass blowing unicorn on it with golden horns.
Oh, wow.
They spent almost $1.4 million to take all the power lines and put them under the ground to get back to the way it was when it was built back in the 1800s.
Really?
Yeah, the bridges are still there. I mean, there's a lot of shops there, and they built this one downtown. But the city was very, very mad about it, because these people came in and said they were going to build this place that was very Victorian, like a Victorian style. After it was done, you could tell, man, this is the thing. It's just too modern. And it sticks out in this little town. It sticks out like a sore thumb. They've changed all the sidewalks up to make it more accessible and that kind of thing. But there's so many ways. There's so many houses up there that were built in the 1800s, and you can tell. There was one place up there that actually has apartments and stuff. Some girl I knew used to live up there, and she lived on the top floor, which is the attic, but it's finished. And he said, "How can you tell it's the attic?" Because the room is designed where you can tell the roof, okay, that you don't have walls in the ceiling. It's the roof. So your walls are the roof. But it's still been done in drywall and stuff. You can tell it's the roof, but it doesn't have your normal, you know, your walls and the ceiling thing. It's actually it's amazing how they did it, because it's still kind of cool. And it has a mantle in the middle of it where she used to burn her candles and all that kind of stuff. So it's a really cool place, and it's quiet. That's the one thing about Manitou Springs. It's great. After a certain time when the tourists are gone, it's very quiet. You have your bars and that kind of stuff from time to time, but it's a great place. I recommend it for anybody. Maybe not everybody.
I'll have to look that up.
Well, I always tell people, if you want to check this place out, go to ManitouSprings.com, Manitou Springs, Colorado. And if, I think if I'm not mistaken, you can go to Manitou Springs, I think it's Colorado.com. And you can see that. Cause I always tell people, I said, look at the main street. If you get the pictures in color, look at the main stretch. It's called Manitou Avenue. You'll see on one side, you'll see a brown shop with two cone roofs. That was my first shop. And then across the street, right across the street, maybe one shop up, you'll see a blue door. You'll see a blue door in the corner. That was my second shop.
Really?
Yeah, my second shop was like 5 feet, maybe 5 feet by 6 feet. I call it a cubby hole, and it had a split door.
Mm-hmm.
So I can actually, if we had days where it was kind of cold or something, I could actually open the top part, and it had a shelf on it. And what I would do, and I still did it anyway, some days I would just open that up first, and I would throw an Indian blanket over it and do card readings right there.
Mm.
Every time I think about leaving Colorado, why I left Colorado, I want to kick myself.
I was going to say, how did you end up in Ohio?
Well, see, I was actually raised in Ohio, but I left here and moved out to Colorado. Uh-huh. And I told a friend of mine, I said, how I got to Colorado was also kind of a freaky thing, too, because I was working for a psychic line called Crystal Clear, and I was living in Wisconsin. And I told a friend of mine what had happened was, I said, I was sitting there, and I was living in Tennessee. I met some girl through one of my phone lines, and she basically wanted me to come to Wisconsin because she wanted to meet me and wanted to see if there may be something coming out of it. And I said, okay, if you're really serious. But she also wanted to work with me. And I said, well, people who want to work with me and want me to go to other places, you're going to pay for my expenses.
Uh-huh.
She said, really? I said, yes. And my angels are always telling me, there's nothing wrong with asking because you'll never know. So I said, I need this, this, and this, and this, or I'm not going nowhere. Well, the lady called me back in a half hour and said, your plane leaves this time. I'll pick you up at the airport, and my friend's going to do this, and you're going to live with me. And I'm like, okay, so you figured this out, huh? She said, yeah. She said, I think you're a cool guy. So she paid $425 for one trip plane ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And then she picked me up. Things didn't really work out between us. She was really pushing it too hard, not really giving a lot of room for any kind of growth of anything for nobody. So it didn't work out. So she decided she wanted to move into another apartment in the same house, same apartment complex. It was a building.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It was a building. So I sit there and when she moved into the other one, I told her that I wasn't going to move with her. I was going to stay right there. And I was, mm-hmm. I kept the, so she's like, why do you want to do that for? When you can live with me and save so much money. I don't want to save no more money anymore. I just want to sit here and be on my own. And I said, this is not working. You're getting to the point where you're doing everything. See, I always have these things about women, especially women. If a woman likes everything about me, that's a red flag for me. Because I don't like everything about me, okay? So she's basically taking on my energy.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, she's taking on what I am and who I am to validate herself, which doesn't work.
No.
So I didn't work, so I told her that we got to do this way. And then I stayed there. And I was over, like I said, I was working on Crystal Clear, this psychic line I was working for. And I was making some pretty good money. And then one of my clients called me and said, hey, how would you like to live in Colorado? I'm like, I about dropped the phone because a week before that, I was actually thinking about, I'd love to be in Colorado. I'd love to live in Colorado. And then all of a sudden this call comes through and I said, that's kind of crazy. I was just thinking about this. And she goes, really? I said, yep. This lady, I told her the same thing. I need you, and if you want me to come to Colorado and work for you and do all this kind of stuff, I need a place to live. I need, you're giving me a job. Do you want me to work for her? And then I said, I need travel. I said, I have no travel pay right now at all, so I can't go anywhere else. And plus, you want me to come out there anyway, so I think you should take care of this. And she's like, so she called me back. She was the other one. She called me back 20 minutes. She goes, you can stay with us. I already talked to my husband about this. He thinks it's a cool idea. And so they're going, you're serious? She goes, yep. She goes, you're going to be working for me. So you got that taken care of. And then she says, I already talked to my husband too, and I'm going to rent an SUV and come pick you up. I had never met a person face to face on the phone. When she showed up, she actually had her 6-year-old and 4-year-old with her. She trusted me. And basically, one in Colorado was there.
Yeah.
So I'm ticked off right now. I'm still here. But everything happens for a reason. So I was sitting there going, okay, well, am I still here? And I was sitting there listening, and then one day somebody came to me and said, my friend said, you can be successful no matter where you're at. I said, maybe that's the reason I'm still here, to prove that to myself, that it doesn't matter. Success is believing in myself. Because I still have a tough time when people go, you're fantastic, you're great. I'm sitting there going, okay, sure, you talking about me? My angels were always saying that you need to self-acceptance of realizing that you are who you are, and the reason these people are doing what they're doing. I had a couple of people even come to me and said that they decided to start their own talk shows on Block Talk Radio because of working with me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay.
That's great.
So I was sitting there looking at the situation going, okay, guys, I hate to push the donation things, but I'd like to have these bills paid off in a little breathing room by at least Wednesday. So if you could help out, all the help that you can give, we appreciate. I really do.
I will do my best.
Because I was sitting there talking to people going, I can do this. And I have my friend, Pam. She's kind of looking into the whole thing. Because Pam actually lives in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you need to get this house, this closing on this house done and get that couch in your living room. And she goes, really? I said, yeah, because where else would I sleep at? She's already... She already said I can come out there and hang with her. And she lives so close to Colorado Springs. It's almost like, you know, you take a rock and hit it. And I used to live in Manitou Springs. It's 5 miles from Colorado Springs up in the mountains.
Mm.
And I told a friend of mine, I said, when I got there and I was living in Manitou Springs, you know, you'd think that, why would you want to go to a carryout where the food is really expensive when you can go down the road about 5 minutes on the bus and there's a Safeway and you can get it cheaper, right? I said, well, I should tell you something about once I was in Manitou Springs, it was hard to get me to come down into the city. I told a friend of mine I used to go hiking every freaking morning. I would sit there and I would run in the morning. I'd get up about 6:30. And run up this thing called the incline just to see the sunrise.
Right.
And people are like, why?
Beautiful.
I said, I've never seen orange and yellows like that. I said, I don't know what it was. Just to see it come over that first ridge. And that was a run, too. And I was telling a friend of mine, I said, this incline was like a mile and a half on the side of the first ridge. And one day I was climbing up this thing. And what is it? It's a bunch of railroad ties going up the side of the mountain. Like a huge stairway, and we were hiking up this thing, and someone told me to turn around and look. When you turn around, it's wide open.
Really?
There's no trees or nothing around you. There are, but when you look out, it's wide open. I describe it as big, like the Empire State Building. If someone took the building away and it was just the stairs,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't that be kind of intimidating to climb those stairs?
Yes.
I said, that's the same thing here.
Yes, it would.
I said, as long as you're not looking down or looking around and you just climb the stairs, you can do it. But as soon as you look out going, oh, my gosh, you just realize how high you are. Now, me, I was the first time I did it, I turned around and go, it was wow, what if I fall down? And then the third thought was, this is gorgeous. And then I was pretty much over that fearful thing. And I saw the first ridge and what was it? The second time I saw a bear, that was kind of interesting because I actually decided to go hiking at 2:00 in the morning. You can hike up the incline. Then there's another path, another trail called the Bar Trail where you can actually crawl. I could climb back over it and then come back down that one. I came back down it. There's this thing called the Cog Railroad, which is actually